scratch about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is make it or break it right here. On this stage right now, the competition really began. So you gotta be great or you gotta be mad at yourself. It's up to you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I want to ask you a question. How would you like to have fried chicken on your table just about any time you wanted to?
Is there a word that means more than yes?
Did you know women prefer Old Spice for their men 1 bajillion times more than lady-scented body washes? Did you know that I'm riding this horse backwards? Yeah.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me. Buddhism teaches that a craving for things outside ourselves causes an unhappy and pointless search for security.
I'm sorry, do you happen to know what time you started talking?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Just pretty much took his pants off and went crazy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Roll up.
Is coming.
Just like the other one.
What?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Give it up, what?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You know what? I love bananas.
Roll.
Let me tap that ass.
Just like the other one.
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
This one seems to be about to end.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
I don't have another cent.
And, I don't know, Chris Angel. He's just a douche.
But don't bug out that joint. Just pass it around.
I totally think I'm gay.
I so agree with Kevin.
I just pass it on down.
And now, I'm young, I'm loose, I'm full of juice, I got the goose, so what's the use? We're feeling gay.
Our feature presentation.
All right. Good times.
I think we're feeling gay is what I understand.
I didn't realize that, but all right.
Hey, what about picking up the phone and giving us a call for the Friday edition, the long-awaited, much-beloved Friday edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number to get on the air, get a prize. Real quick, though, great news. I don't know why this came out in the news yesterday, but it was all over the internet about the woman whose breast implant saved her life.
Oh, sure.
Because apparently the shooting happened in July. Apparently a crazy guy walks into a medical office and wants to kill his ex-wife. And he also shoots a coworker of hers, the woman in the story. And the doctors now think that the breast implant saved her life. It slowed down the bullet so that it did not – it was one of those deals where had the breast implants not been there, it would have just given the bullet that extra bit of oomph that would have put it right in her heart.
Right.
Wow. That's kind of amazing.
It's amazing, and it's the type of thing that I hope is widely disseminated information, because clearly it's just the latest thing that we could add to the list to make it, you know, mandatory is where it should end up in the state of California, where you should be required to get a breast implant, not just for aesthetic reasons, Lisa, but because it's a safety issue.
Yeah, it's like a seatbelt. You know
like
what I mean?
Seatbelts, yeah.
So
we don't want to see anything happen to any of you.
If I wore a bulletproof vest instead,
well,
would do the same thing. In fact, it would protect more of my body. It would actually go from my chin,
right? But you'll find those are actually
to my waist.
You'll find those are actually quite heavy and uncomfortable.
True.
So,
but it would protect more of me.
Right. It would. Yeah. But you wouldn't wear it as much. You'd say, it's too heavy. Oh, it's hot. I'm going to go outside. Oh, I better not.
I hear breast implants are heavy. Sometimes they're hot in the summer.
Can be.
This is like building in the lights that automatically turn on in your car so that you don't – yeah, you can tell people, yeah, you got a switch right there. You can turn the lights on, but you build in those daylights that automatically are on. It kind of takes the mystery out, the chance out for the consumer. So I guess what we're saying is we're looking out for you, ladies.
Well, I think if it really is a safety issue –
that's what Bean has long been about.
Insurance should pay for it.
I'm fine with that. I don't care who pays for it. Just get them.
Don't care. All right. Let's start with your phone calls.
And they were size D. I should mention that.
I think we were talking about that yesterday.
Apparently, D is the size that works best.
Oh, really?
That's the size.
So if you go up to C, you're still not quite safe?
You're not really protected.
Right. You are basically putting your life at risk every minute that you're alive. Yes, that's right.
All right. Let's take some phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
It's weird. We come in and we give and we give and we give. We try so hard to help, and Lisa's just like an obstructionist. I don't know what it is. I don't know why she stands in the way of progress. Do you guys?
I'm asking the necessary questions.
She has long fought the truth.
That's right. All right. How about a pair of 2010 Six Flags Magic Mountain Play Passes? You can use these any day that the park is open. No blackout dates in 2010, so that is a pretty good time and a pretty good deal. Where do you want to start today?
Let's see. Let's talk to Josh with an update that I hope is true. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, Lisa?
Hello.
Oh, so I was reading a thing in Yahoo that basically in about 20 to 30 years, they're going to run out of granite that makes the stones for curling, and the Olympics only will use that certain stone, so we can only hope in about 20, 30 years that we will never see that sport in the Olympics anymore.
I thought it was something that was going to be a little sooner than that. Maybe the next year or two.
I hope too. They say also that if the demand spikes, which it has since 1998, that they say they might have to rethink that and give the numbers even a smaller date because if it gets more popular, they're going to use more stones.
But don't you think that if they really do, first of all, how do these stones not last forever? Why can't they use the stones that they have in existence now till the end of time? Those things have to last hundreds of years. They're made of rock, right?
But they crack when they hit each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So don't you think that they'll come up with some sort of substitute that will be acceptable to the Olympics if they literally can't make any more out of the granite they prefer?
Well, I think they're kind of purists, so I hope they won't. But, you know, I mean, if they do, you know, oh, well. But, hey, at least it's a little bit of like
something to hold on to.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I got
you. That's a good call. Thank you very much for dialing in. By the way, Kevin, I don't have the story in front of me. I don't have his name. But you saw the American curler who is your new hero yesterday,
no,
right?
No, I did not.
Well, the Americans suck at curling, as you know.
And by the way, I'd just like to say, for the record, I think that's good.
That they suck?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certain things, I hope we win everything else, but there are certain things where I think, okay, wait, that's a dork sport. Let's be bad at that. I want to be bad at certain things. It's like, you know, you're defined by your enemies sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, who hates you? Okay, well, maybe you're onto something. That's the way it should be with curling.
Well, the U.S. lost again yesterday, I guess.
Excellent.
He may even be the skipper on the, I don't know any of the terminology in the
skipper. Captain. They call him skipper. It's stupid. He's the captain.
Yeah. But they call him the skip is what it always says in the article, right? So he is overheard after blowing a shot. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. We have to find this story because we have to give him total credit and props for this. He said at the Olympics while curling, he said, I hate this stupid sport.
Yes!
Which I'm sure people have said, you know, I'm sure football players have said it, basketball
players
have said it.
Of course,
when they're playing and they're frustrated, right. But this guy said, I hate this stupid sport while he was curling. And
I like
God
it.
Bless him. I love him so much.
He should have quit right then is what should have happened.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Brian, who has a question for us. Hi, Brian.
Hey, baby booze.
Hello.
What's going on?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
All right, so my question is it wrong to stare at girls' breastfeeding? Because yesterday I was at Friday's, and there's a very attractive Asian girl, and her baby was crying and all. So, you know, she wanted to shut her up, so she kind of went for her boob and all, and I was just staring.
Yeah.
And she kind of stopped when I kept staring, so is it wrong to stare?
No.
No, it's wrong to get caught.
Yeah, that's the thing. Why are you bad? I mean, you can't help it, right? But you got to do it. But you got to do it so that she doesn't feel threatened by your stare. You know,
I have to. I mean, if she's going to show some boobie, might as well look.
Right, but I'm saying you don't have to stare like a creep. You
got
to learn.
You got
to learn to not be caught.
You understand? It's not. It's not a fountain. There's not a line that you can get in to get yours. You got that right.
I got that. I wasn't my girlfriend, so I mean, I don't know.
Wow, you were, you were in a tough spot then. Think about that. I mean, he has to try to look so that the woman breastfeeding can't see, and so that his girlfriend also can't
right.
see.
But I'm guessing he failed on both counts.
Yep.
Because
all
like,
I'm saying is all natural. So
it is all natural. Yes, Brian. Right. Thank you.
It is funny how unsexual it is to the mother, yet that doesn't stop our reaction to the boob. We understand that it's being used for breastfeeding, but still, it's still a boob, right?
Well, I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We're human.
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't think you can help it, really.
As we learned from one of our callers earlier this week, what choice do we have?
Right. What choice do we have? All right, let's go to John. Hi, John.
Hey, what to do, y'all?
What to do, y'all?
Y'all. Y'all is singular and all y'all is plural.
All right.
anyhow, we had a sexual harassment training at work the other day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun.
The lawyers came in, you know, and told us all what we can't do.
Right.
And, you know, on the way out, I'm behind this, like, you know, pretty attractive girl, and she had a dollar bill about to fall out of her back pocket.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, and I'm like, is this a setup? You know?
Yeah, it was a test by the person that was running the seminar.
Right. You know, so I'm like, not going to say anything. So I'm like following her around, looking at her, but waiting for the dollar to fall out so I can give it to her. And my boss sees me, and I get fired.
Oh, that didn't happen.
Oh, no. You're making that up.
How do you like that?
That didn't happen. I don't believe it. It didn't happen.
That happened.
You don't get fired for staring.
Yes, you can. For not paying attention to what's going on in the class. Yeah. Yeah, we just had a sexual harassment training class.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound likely.
I mean,
if it really happened, they wanted you out.
I don't buy that.
Right. They're looking for reason to fire.
Or something else happened.
Yeah.
Hey, let me stuff that back in for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, something like that. Right? That's how smooth, right?
That's what happened.
You struggle, but thank you.
Are you sexually harassing me right now? Because if you are, I think I'm going to have to report you for giving me a serious boner.
There you go. All right. I think we'll leave it there. Thanks for the calls. We'll try again on Monday.
Talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Friday morning means the movie beat. Ralph will be here to take a look at that, tell you all the new movies that are in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We have from Cop Out, speaking of new movies, we have Tracy Morgan.
Oh, great.
On the program today. Very excited about that.
It's funny because he has been a working actor and comedian forever, for 20 years, right? But man, thanks to 30 Rock, as he just broke it out. He's so popular now and so deserves it because he's great.
We're going to talk about the killer whale. I'm sure you've seen this all over the news every day, all day.
Yeah.
To which I say, don't be a dumb human and don't get in the water with a killer whale. That's what I say. If someone's someone's dumb enough to do that, they got what's coming to them. Then the herd, as Ralph says. I'm down with that. Petros Papadakis will be here. We were doing this in the studio yesterday. I mean, in the office yesterday after the show, and Miss Cleo did that and spit her gum out.
Yeah, that was right on the floor.
That was nice. It was a nice touch.
Mike, why does Petro say that Girl Scout cookies are ruining his life? You listen to his show. What's his problem with the Girl Scout cookies?
I'm assuming because he's been trying to take care of himself a little bit better lately, and there's a overseas schooner of Girl Scout cookies in his fridge because he's probably a nice guy and he has a huge family, and it was probably bullied into buying a ton.
Right.
I thought Petros is where I am, where he's just given up on trying to get fit.
Nope.
Lose weight.
I don't think so. No,
he's still working for it.
He's still a part of the human race.
Petros was a Greek god in his college playing days.
Right, take it easy.
And, no, he was. I mean, he was known for being fast and athletic and stuff before he hurt his knee. And his father does not let him forget that. So I think Petros.
Well,
has
and
the,
his wife is a trainer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's that. Nice.
Don't marry a trainer.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's too much pressure.
I don't have any Greek godlike years that I can compare myself to. So.
You were downhill from the day you were born.
You do have just the opposite. Right, we're going to talk to Dr. Mo again today, who's following up on a story that Bean wants very much to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course I do. Why wouldn't everybody want it to
Look,
be true?
Look, Bean had me believe
awesome
in it.
Story. I still think it's true.
It can't.
I still think
what
it's true.
What did Dr. Mo say when he called?
Well, let's.
What did he say?
We're going to find out.
What did he say that time?
His initial reaction. When we first talked about the story and you said it wasn't true, initially he said,
I so agree with Kevin.
But then he did some research and went and looked at some of the relevant paperwork on the story about the girl with no vagina who got pregnant in an unusual way. And he's going to give us his findings later on in today's program.
And if his findings are still similar to what I thought, then we're all going to worship at the altar of Kevin. Is that correct?
I thought we were going to worship at the altar of Dr. Mo.
Come on, but I said it without any training. He went to school for like 14 years for that.
Well, I'm a light person.
Interesting take.
Come
Kevin.
On now. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back. We have Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, party people. Finally Friday. Blur on the way. Rise Against Incubus. Cake and more. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph is here with our very first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I love you like a fat kid loves cake, Kevin and Bean.
Tracy Morgan.
Coming on the show?
Yep.
He actually uses that line in Cop Out.
Does he?
Yeah.
Remember I told you 2 days ago that the largest selling comic book ever was auctioned off at $1 million?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Superman, the Action Comics number one featuring the first appearance of Superman?
Mm-hmm.
$1 million for a comic book.
It's a record of all time?
All time.
Yeah.
Biggest selling, highest amount of money ever paid for a classic comic book ever. Until yesterday. Suck it, Superman!
It got topped already?
The Detective Comics number 27 from 1939, the first appearance of Batman, sold for $1.1 million yesterday.
Yeah!
So suck it, Superman!
Wow.
Suck it, Superman. Booyakaka! Batman rules over Superman's ass.
His rough,
illegal alien ass.
If you had tons of money, is that a purchase you'd be interested in?
Yeah.
Would you want to own the first Batman? Well, I didn't know how much of your Batman love is the TV series and how much is the comic book Batman.
But all things spring from that 1939 comic book.
So again, to rephrase the question, if you had $1.1 million, you would spend it on a comic book. You'd actually put it down for a comic book.
I would actually put it down for an actual comic book, actually. If I had that kind of money, yeah.
Okay.
If you have that kind of money, then it's not a big deal.
Right,
it's if you
exactly.
don't have a kind of that kind of money, then
it's not like you have
deal.
$2 million and you spend $1.1 on on a comic book.
Yeah,
look, I understand that.
I'm selling my house in order to get the comic
right.
book.
Right.
I would do the same thing, but I know there are a lot of people out there who could not conceive of that being a good investment.
I would light $1 million on fire before I would do that.
That seems like a bad investment.
Yeah.
Why don't you just buy the comic book and then light it on fire to piss off all the other comic book
people? Be fine too.
You know, you guys mock me for my people, my comic book people.
Well, this is the comic book report more than it is
How
the showbiz report.
How dare you? Every once in a look, some of the biggest movies on the planet Earth
I hear you.
Are comic book based movies. It certainly has a connection to entertainment.
Yes, it
yeah,
does.
But you used to talk about girls too, and now it's just comic books.
Oh, really? Was I talking to Stana Katic yesterday? Who I still miss.
Yes,
by the
way. You were.
You were spitting game.
I was spitting game.
It was impressive.
She was digging me.
Yep.
Yeah, she was
pretty
digging
strong.
A little bit. Yeah. Speaking of comic books.
Oh, dear.
Oh, really? You know the Comic-Con down in San Diego?
Yeah.
Yes. Their license is up with the city of San Diego in 2012. So yesterday started bidding on other cities who desperately want the Comic-Con to come to their cities.
Oh.
Los Angeles, Anaheim, and Las Vegas all apparently threw some huge numbers at the Comic-Con people trying to get them to move that annual event to their cities. It turns out that they have almost 200,000 attendees for 4 days every year for that event.
Wow.
The Comic-Con for this year, which happens in July, sold out in September of last year. Sold out. The
sold
tickets.
Out.
You can't get tickets. And they estimate that the people who go there spend $75 million in that weekend in businesses surrounding the convention.
Hotels, restaurants.
Down in San Diego, yes. $75 million it brings to that city in 4 days.
Wow.
That's some coin. So we may get to see the Comic-Con here in Los Angeles or down in Anaheim or even Las Vegas. Oh, come on, Las Vegas. So cool. And sad news. Connected to the world of science fiction and comic books. Walter Koenig, of course, who played Chekhov on the original Star Trek. His son, Andrew Koenig, was found dead yesterday in Vancouver's Stanley Park.
Oh.
If you've been following the story at all, Andrew played Boner on Growing Pains when he was a kid actor. He had gotten into production and as a cameraman later in his life, and they were concerned because he went to Vancouver to visit some friends, did not return. So his parents and the rest of the family went up there trying to search for him, and apparently they found his body yesterday in the park. So... there's no foul play expected. Police and Walter Koenig both say that he was suffering from depression and took his own life. So, I guess if there's anything to be learned from it, I mean, even Andrew's parents, Walter and Judy Koenig, said, if you know anyone with depression in your life, in your family, please try to get them some help because Andrew stopped taking his medication apparently about a year ago. So. Sad news.
Ralph, how did he do it? I never heard that part of the story.
I don't have that.
Yeah, let's revel in that.
I don't have this.
No, I'm not reveling. I'm just, it is a fact that I'm just curious about because I have not heard it reported. Because
you love
it's death. It's rare for somebody to kill himself outside. That's why. I was just trying to figure out how he might have done it. I don't know if there was a gun involved or what.
I'm sorry, Dr. Kevorkian, I don't have that information for you.
That's the best part of the story for him.
I'm friends with the family. If you'd like to make a phone call, I can, you know. Yeah, probe a little bit.
You don't need.
Yeah, see if there's any of his head left. I'm just curious.
You don't need to do that, really. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That chilled even me, and I'm used to him.
Yeah.
Bean's a genius, and he's really smart, but he's got no soul, and he's got no heart.
Let's pick things up a little bit, shall we?
Please.
Our buddy Seth Green from Family Guy and Robot Chicken, and of course the Austin Powers movies. Got engaged this week.
Really?
Yeah. To model actress Claire Grant, who works also as a voiceover artist, and they've worked together on Robot Chicken. Of course, Seth is the co-creator of that show. Saw Seth yesterday at Family Guy. We were doing a little recording, and he says hi to you fellas, and he wants to come in sometime
soon.
Seth Green. Oh, come on! So, congratulations to those guys. They're a very, very happy couple.
How shocking that he's marrying a model. How about that?
Mm-hmm. You know what? He doesn't not like attractive girls.
Yeah, that's right? True.
That's for sure. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Fats Domino, the legendary Fats Domino, the guy that Fat was named after. He invented Fat. That's how
amazing
legendary
that he's
he is.
Still alive.
Yes, and he's still fat. He is 82 years old today. He's one of the original rock and roll stars from the 50s.
Remember when they couldn't find him after Katrina? They thought he drowned?
No.
For days he was missing.
No, Do not remember that aspect of the Katrina story.
Would you like us to go into more detail on how he died? Oh, he's still alive.
He didn't die. He's still alive.
Michael Bolton. Wish he was dead. He's 57 years old today. Singer Erykah Badu is 38 years old.
Erykah.
And Corinne Bailey Ray, who is not only a talented singer-songwriter, but she is a close personal friend of Kevin's ever since he had to announce her at the Grammys that one time.
Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. Wow. Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. Let's do it again.
I so agree with Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an unforgettable moment for me, too, now.
Mm-hmm.
She is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with...
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 18 minutes after 6 o'clock.
An update on what will happen to Tilly, the serial killer whale, coming up in just a few minutes on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means Ralph's here with the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
About a half a dozen movies opening up in Cineplexes this week, and some you're definitely going to want to check out. Some are The Defendor, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. The Yellow Handkerchief opens this weekend in limited release in Los Angeles and New York. This is an independent film starring William Hurt, Maria Bello, and Kristen Stewart. Quite the cast. William Hurt plays an ex-con who hitches a ride with two teenagers to go see his estranged wife, played by Maria Bello. And by all accounts, this is an interesting little film. It was at Sundance Film Festival. It got a positive response, but people didn't go crazy for it. However, the cast alone might make it worth seeing. Here's a scene from The Yellow Handkerchief where Maria Bello returns William Hurt's boat to him. And really, there's a lot of undercurrent regarding their marriage going on in this conversation.
Brought your boat.
Well, we're not friends either.
How do we do that?
You just do it.
I don't think I could.
Why not?
I forgive too easily. I always have.
I was going to ask you to marry me.
You don't know a thing about me.
You just told me who you are, but I already knew. Your whole life is in your face. And I love that face.
No.
A lot of accents going on down there.
A lot of southern accents. Clip does not sell it for me.
Come on, you're going. You're so good.
No, I'm so not.
You're all about the Yellow Handkerchief.
I'm not.
Defendor opens today. This is Woody Harrelson playing a disturbed man with a mental illness who believes he's a real-life superhero called Defendor, who is searching for a fictional crime lord known as Captain Industry. He makes friends with a teenage prostitute played by Kat Dennings in the film. And together they try to hunt down this fictional villain. It's comedy, sort of, and sort of a dark exploration of a person who's got mental illness, sort of. How am I doing?
Not well.
No?
I thought it looked better than you do.
I'm surprised you don't love this because you're 2 years away from putting on a crime-fighting suit and going out in the night.
That's true. 2 years away?
You don't know
what I was doing last night.
That's true.
I took down Captain Industry myself. Well, maybe the clips from the trailer can help describe Defendor a little bit better than I can.
What are you supposed to be?
Your worst nightmare. He calls himself Defendor.
Defender?
Defendor. I want Captain Industry.
Who?
Evil mastermind.
Arthur, they have guns?
Guns don't hurt me.
What's that? A jar.
What is this supposed to do?
Very little. Except contain a swarm of angry wasps. Hey, yo,
see, he uses all kinds of things to fight crime in his madness. Sandra Oh plays his psychiatrist.
Oh wow.
does that help anyone at all?
Does this have a good director?
This is a little-known director out of Canada.
All right, good.
Named Peter Stebbings is the director.
Okay. Looks good.
I got the Crazies this weekend. You mood for a horror movie?
Yes.
Mood for a little spooky horror movie?
Yes. Kevin's always
saw
up
Shutter Island last weekend. I'm in for this one.
A toxin turns the residents of Ogden Marsh, Iowa, into violent psychopaths. You're standing there next to your best friend one minute. Next minute, he's all crazy. They're the Crazies.
They are the Crazies.
Timothy Olyphant plays the local sheriff in the town who's got to try to make sense of the situation. While he and his wife, played by Rhoda Mitchell, are trying to survive along with everyone else involved in this crazy, crazy town. This is crazy. These people are crazy.
The name does worry me a bit.
These are crazies, these people.
It's a remake, right, Ralph?
Oh, is it?
The George Romero Crazies movie from back in the day.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, I think that's why it's called The Crazies. I think it's because it has kind of a...
That scares me a little.
Famous predecessor.
Well, what should we call it? I don't know. They're crazy. Let's go with the crazies.
The town is filled with crazies.
That scares me a bit, but it looks good.
Here is a scene where Timothy Olyphant, who plays, as I mentioned, the sheriff, is a little concerned about the state of one of his prisoners in his jail cell.
Is he dead? Well, if he is, he won't mind waiting.
Did we or did we not request a transfer for him this morning?
Really? He's crazy!
He does sound crazy.
He did sound crazy, that's true.
He's crazy! He's got really bad hemorrhoids. One or the other, I can't tell. And lastly, Cop Out opens this weekend, the new film by director Kevin Smith, starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan and other people who are funny. Sean William Scott is in this, and... who's the hot chick we were talking about yesterday from The Office and Parks and Recreation?
I don't know.
Come on.
Rashida Jones?
Rashida Jones. Yes.
She's in it, too?
She's in it, too. She plays Tracy Morgan's wife in it. A very funny film from Kevin Smith. A little different for Kevin. He didn't write this one, but he did direct it. And it is pretty much an homage to every 80s cop buddy action comedy you've ever seen. There's a lot of Lethal Weapon thrown in there. There's a lot of 48 Hours thrown in there. And they pull it off because Tracy Morgan really is one of the funniest people on the planet. He makes me laugh so hard. Here is a scene from the movie where Tracy Morgan is trying to get some information out of a car thief that turns out to be a little out of the ordinary.
You just got my ride.
What the hell are you doing, Tommy?
Driving, bitch.
Get out the car.
Isn't it black?
No, because you're 10.
11.
Get out of the car.
I was wearing my seatbelt.
Get out of the car, you little repeat offender. Now, we need to know about the Mercedes that was stolen a couple of nights ago in the back of the Mini Mart in Bay Ridge.
You're messing with my business, bitch.
Whose car is this?
Your mama's.
That kid is hysterical. And at one point, I don't mean to be a spoiler, but he during that conversation, he just winds up and just kicks Tracy Morgan square in the balls. One of the funniest things I've ever
Nothing
seen.
Funnier.
Nothing funnier. Cop Out is a very entertaining 2 hours of the movie. It's less than 2 hours. It's a great little popcorn comedy. I think you'll enjoy yourself. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Look, hear my whole thing. They call it a killer whale.
That isn't the name.
You can't be surprised if you climb into a tank and you don't climb back out, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Just in case you've been on vacation the last few days and have missed the story from SeaWorld in Orlando, here's a news report on what happened.
Tourists gathered for a show at SeaWorld in Orlando. Then, without warning, something went terribly wrong. As the horrified audience watched, a killer whale attacked one of the park's most experienced trainers and drowned her.
The popular Shamu show at Orlando's SeaWorld hadn't yet begun when the park's largest killer whale, a 12,300-pound male orca named Tillicum, swam toward 40-year-old female trainer Dawn Branshew and, according to one witness, pulled her underwater.
She was standing on the rocks right above the viewing area. He jumped out. He took off, and then he came back. He jumped off, grabbed her, started thrashing around, and then her shoe fell off. I mean, he was thrashing her around pretty good. It was violent.
She wasn't actually in the water, it sounds like.
I heard she had waded in. She wasn't out there in the middle with him, but she had kind of waded into the shore.
Do you guys have any kind of report on her shoe? Does anyone know if both of her shoes made it?
I don't know what happened to the shoe. That's what I'd like to know.
I think that's how violently she was being shaken. I think that's what the point is. Yeah, he grabbed her by the ponytail. But here, this is the age-old question, and this comes up. Every couple of years, a story like this will happen. Maybe it's an elephant going crazy in a zoo, or it's a whale going crazy in a theme park like this. And you start to go, well, they need more room. I mean, it would be like you being confined to your bathtub for the rest of your life.
They actually need the ocean, is what they need.
They need the ocean. That's what they need. So, I mean, the miracle for me is that it doesn't happen more often. So what do you do if you're SeaWorld now and you've got this whale who, by the way, has killed before? It's a serial killer whale.
It is a serial killer. Yeah, that's true.
What do you do with him? Do you just not do shows with him anymore? Do you try to relocate him to someplace else, maybe to, you know, a reserve or something like they did with Free Willy? I mean, do you make it a Free Tilly situation, or what do you do with the whale? Or like they do with a dog, kills a kid or something like that, they put the dog down. Is that, I mean, some people think that that's what ought to happen to the whale.
Yeah, those people should be put down. This has killer in the name of the animal. F you. You get in with it, you die. That's the way life works. You know that ahead of time.
It's definitely a possibility. Like you said, it's happened before.
Yeah, it's happened.
How many
before?
People has Tilly killed?
Well, I think they're blaming him for two, and then there was a third one that kind of jumped into the tank, so it's really not her fault.
All right. Or his? So, is it a her or a him?
It's a him.
Okay.
It's a boy whale.
All right.
So anyway, bad times down there, and then right now they have suspended the whale shows there, but we thought we'd get the very latest information. We asked producer Alex to line us up, somebody who can talk to us from SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida, and find out what the latest is on the tragic Tilly situation.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir. You work for SeaWorld, sir?
No. Well, yeah, I guess technically I do work for SeaWorld, but I'm not I don't sell churros or something.
We were hoping you'd be a spokesperson for the park that can tell us about what the plan is for the killer whale there.
I am the killer whale.
This is Tilly?
This is Tillicum.
What?
Yeah, don't call me Tilly, because that sounds like a fag. I'm a male whale. My name is Tillicum.
Right, but your nickname is Tilly.
Well, that's gay.
Okay, all right.
But actually, my name is Cyril, but no one ever calls me that.
So you'd prefer Tillicum then?
I would prefer that, yeah.
Okay.
If you don't call me Tillicum, I will grab you by the ponytail and shake you till you're dead.
Wow.
Okay, I don't want that at all. All right. First of all, I'm shocked that you are answering the phone and that you speak English. That's amazing.
Well, have you know that orcas are very smart animals.
Right.
And so, you know, why would you be surprised? I'll just have to hit one button.
With what, though? You don't have fingers?
Yeah.
No, I don't have fingers.
I'm saying.
Mr. Biology Major.
How are you holding the phone, then?
Well, you ever heard of a thing called a flipper?
Yeah?
Yeah. I just did that. I took my flipper and I hit the button.
Okay, take it easy.
Why don't you take it
I'm
easy?
I'm just asking questions.
Why don't you come take a swim down here in Orlando?
I have no need to take a swim with
like you.
I'd like you
to have
That's
a swim.
All right. Thank
I
you.
Think you need a swim is what you need.
I don't.
A nice relaxing swim in my tank.
I'd rather not.
I bet you wouldn't.
You don't mind.
Tillicum, do you have some anger management issues? Is that part of the problem here? Because it seems like you got a pretty short fuse.
You know what? My fuse is quite long, I'll have you know.
Okay.
Why don't you come over here and take a look at my fuse?
No, I'm not talking about
my fuse right in your ear.
I mean, it's an expression to say that you have a short temper. It seems like it's very easy for you to get anger and irritated.
Oh, is it? Let me tell you a little something about me, mate. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Okay.
I was born in lovely Iceland, all right?
Okay.
Floating around with my mom and my other brothers and sisters.
Right.
Then somebody from Canada comes and picks me up out of the water and takes me to a theme park in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved me to Orlando, which, in case you don't know, is in Florida.
It is, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Florida?
I have.
Sure. Florida sucks.
It's pretty bad. It's one of the worst states, yes.
So now I live in a swimming pool in Florida.
Right.
Yeah, I've got some anger issues. Yeah, you might say that.
But I mean,
I killed that lady. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Well, I think you did.
There were witnesses. People saw you do it, though.
Oh, Your Honor, I didn't realize that you were a jury of my peers. Well, consider me convicted then. I'll go along peacefully like that, officer. Just put me right in whale jail.
At what point in your upbringing did you get the British accent, Kelly?
I was born with it.
Okay, all right.
Because, Icelanders are big Brits.
Okay. They're Brits, are they?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey, Tilly, isn't it true?
What did I say about Tilly?
Tillicum, sorry. Okay.
You don't listen. You locked that bitch in the tank. She just didn't listen.
Well, she was a trainer, technically.
So I had to take her, and I had to shake some sense into her.
I thought you said you didn't do that.
Well, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. All I know is when her shoe came off, she had a pain right there in her ankle. Thank you, and good night.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and coming up in about a half hour, we're going to do the grand prize drawing for a trip for two to Lisbon, Portugal, which I just found out recently is in Europe in some junk.
What? I thought it was in South America. I thought it was down there by Brazil. No?
Honestly, I thought Portugal was in South America till a week and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah, you're smart.
You're going to see Pearl Jam. We're going to do that grand prize drawing coming up about a half hour from now on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:47.
The Dirty Heads featuring Rome. No one?
He'll wait forever, won't he?
Yeah, he will.
I will.
Might as well do it. Thank you. Also, Blink 182 and Nirvana coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat Free. Friday, what's going on?
Asperger's is a harder disease on the loved ones than it is on the actual victim, I think.
Are there loved ones?
There is not this particular case.
I'm just saying in general.
Okay.
I'm just saying. All right. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio. Mike hates him. Psycho Mike hates Leonardo.
Wow. Yes.
Here's another reason. Apparently, remember how Mike mentioned that Leo is always great to the fans at the Lakers game?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Nicest celebrity out of all of them. Stand there all day, take pictures.
Leonardo DiCaprio was at the big-time red carpet premiere of Shutter Island last week. And he went into the premiere. You know, the movie starts. He ducks out while the movie has begun.
Right.
Now, most of the time, celebrities do that because they're hopping in their limo. They're going off to Ledoux to snort blow off the ass of a hooker.
In the perfect world, yeah.
Leo ducked out of his own movie to go back outside to where all the fans were lining in the streets and walked up and down signing autographs, posing for pictures, and saying hi to his diehard fans.
He's in Die Hard?
Oh, Gilligan. We're never going to get off this island.
So he had already escaped the clutches of the fans, could have just sat there in air-conditioned comfort enjoying his movie, and instead got back up and subjected himself to that again.
Once the movie started and everyone else was watching the movie, he ducked out to spend more time with his fans outside.
Unbelievable.
That's
I can see why Mike hates him.
Yeah. That's that dude right there.
Well, he's better than we are. That's for sure.
Speaking of
Adam's stars, the long list.
Stars who are better than we are.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock is concerned that she may not fit into her gown come Oscar night.
Fat.
She's not fat.
She's not at all fat.
She apparently says she has been eating a ridiculous amount of chocolate lately due to her nerves about the award, and that is her comfort food. And so she's concerned that the gown is already set. It's already made.
Right.
Will she be able to fit into it is her concern now.
Yeah.
That's a week from Sunday?
Yeah,
that's right.
The 7th, March 7th. Yeah.
All right.
So she's got to lose a bunch of weight real quick. Jesse James is going to start working her.
Does she strike you guys as an Oscar-caliber actress?
In the right role?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think anybody
very talented
in the right role.
Yeah, that role seemed really good for her.
Yeah. I won't go see Blindside, but
no, me neither, saw it. But I like her a lot.
It was pretty good.
You went to see Blindside?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know.
On purpose?
His wife gets him to go.
Did you wander into the wrong theater?
I go to a lot of bad movies, and I make my wife go to a lot of bad movies.
Were you drunk?
Every once in a while, I have to go, yeah,
did you have some granola bars?
Yes, I'd love to go to Blindside. That'd be great.
You don't say that.
I do.
You go, all right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you do. Speaking of Blindside, are you familiar with blindsidereviews.com? Familiar with this website?
No.
Blindside Reviews. We should talk to Jay Forey, who is the movie critic on blindsidereviews.com. Jay Forey goes to see movies, almost all of them, with his dog.
What?
Well, they let Jay in with his dog because it's his seeing eye dog.
Okay.
Jay Forey's a blind movie reviewer.
So he listens to the movies.
Yes.
And then reviews them.
I thought my shtick was ridiculous. Not going to see the movies and reviewing them. This dude goes to see him, is blind, and then posts his reviews on his own website, blindsidereviews.com.
I like it.
Maybe it's for other blind people.
But let me... Oh, my God.
For that giant movie-going audience that is blind people?
True. I mean, every time I go to the movies, it is packed with people wearing dark glasses with dogs and canes.
They do go to the movies.
Not really.
Not really.
They do.
Overall, I'm going to go no.
I bet the same number of deaf listeners we have are the same number as big blind movie fans.
But let me ask you this, and I'm not blind, but... don't they have some accommodation for blind folks? They have headphones or something they can wear that also, along with the listening to the movie, has descriptions of the scene that is unfolding on the up on the big screen at the same time.
I don't know that they have those in theaters, but I know that because I've actually done a few recordings doing that.
Yes. Would you love to hear that?
No.
Come on.
Now, Sandra Bullock's going over to the blind side.
That's what I thought. I think it's something like that, though.
Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel. Anyway, he's making his Oscar predictions over there on blindsidereviews.com. So if you want to know who the blind people think are going to win the Oscars, you can check it out.
Do you know any more about this? Like, is he accurate? Is he respected? Does anyone take him seriously?
I'm going to headbutt you right in the beak.
Really?
I got this. This is what I got.
I'm just saying.
Blind, he's a movie reviewer, and he's picking Oscar winners over on his website. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Let's do a little research. I don't think blind people can use the phones.
So yes, they can.
I don't think so. I think they're handicapped.
Jay Forey, we can talk to him, and we'll get his Oscar picks next week. How about we do that? And then you can ask him all the questions you want about how blind people go to the movies, and whether he likes Lisa's recordings, is he respected? All these many questions that you have that are impossible to answer can be answered by the blind dude himself.
What do blind people see when they dream? Because seriously, if you've been blind your whole life, you've never seen anything. What do you see when you dream? Or do you not dream if you're blind?
Please move on, Ralph.
That's
just
a legitimate question. Come
but not
on.
For now.
Did you watch American Idol last night?
No.
The 24. I'm not talking to you anymore, Bean. We can't afford you. Yeah. We can't afford you anymore. You're too expensive.
He's a liability.
Yes, he's too expensive. The top 24 last night, the beginning of the eliminations was last night's show. Four were booted, two boys and two girls. Ashley Rodriguez is one of the girls who got booted, which is a sad, sad thing because she is a fine Latina.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she was one of my favorites.
She was real pretty, yeah.
Janelle Wheeler, she is also one of the chicks gone. Yeah, Tyler Grady.
Was he cute, Mike?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Grady thought he was,
was he
Jim
70s
Morrison.
Rock? Yeah.
He thought he was...
he was a terrible singer.
A terrible singer, yes. And Joe Munoz.
Aye, aye, aye.
From Local Boy, from Huntington Park, California.
Oh, clean, fool.
Joe Munoz got the boot last night, too. We were watching last night, we're like, ooh, bad night for Latinos. Because Ashley and Joe both got the boot, and they were both brown.
Yeah.
I was thinking, who's watching the show? It must be just all white 12-year-old girls because the brown man was not well-treated last night.
Well, did the brown man deserve to be there?
Ashley was good. Ashley was a good singer.
Yeah,
and hot. I thought she was going to last a long time.
How about that?
She didn't sing slow jams, though, fool.
No, she didn't. She didn't crack out the Art LeBeau songbook, that's for sure. So we'll have to wait and see. And speaking of American Idol, you remember General Larry Platt, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pants on the ground.
The general was the overnight sensation who gave us pants on the ground. Pants on the ground, walking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Well, this dude is milking every minute of his 15 minutes of fame. He is headed to Las Vegas tonight. He will be performing at the Jet Nightclub inside the Mirage Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
That's a nice club.
It sure is.
Really?
The general's getting paid several thousand dollars. He's getting a free hotel stay, airline travel, a steak dinner. All just to go out to the Jet nightclub and perform Pants on the Ground for the people.
You think they booked this 4 weeks ago when they thought, oh, it's going to be so awesome to get the general in there, and now the weekend is coming. They went, really, seriously, who cares about this
dude? Sweep the nation with Pants on the Ground. So the general's got a gig in Vegas. We couldn't get a gig in Vegas. We put a gun to our heads.
That's true.
We could not get a show in Vegas. He's doing his show in Vegas.
But if you're...
I think she's about to pull something out of her pants.
Let's say you're at that nightclub. You're on E. You're rolling. General comes out, starts singing Pants on the Ground. You love it.
That's true.
You love it.
That's true.
Hey, that guy's great from that thing. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be great.
I'm out there dancing with a blind movie critic, asking him how he dreams.
Right.
I'm going to have a great time in Vegas
tonight. Don't know if the standards for a good show should be, I'd like it if I was on ecstasy.
I like everything when I'm on ecstasy.
Right. That's my point. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Are we looking for Pants on the Ground over there? Do we have any Pants on the Ground?
We don't have
pants. I got Pants on the Ground if you need it.
Yes.
I mean, I just
this is a guy who beats me to death with audio clips every day of stuff I don't need when I'm talking, and he's got Pants on the Ground, and he's just sitting on it.
Pants.
I have it because we were already past the point where you sang enough of it that I thought it was redundant then to come back and play some of the real clip. But
it's one thing for me to sing it. It's another thing for the general to perform it.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground, with the gold in your mouth, hat turned sideways, pan hit the ground, call yourself a cool cat, looking like a fool, walking downtown with your pants on the ground.
All right, maybe even if I was on E, I'd be disappointed if I was at the Jet nightclub tonight.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is musician Fats Domino, the legendary Fats Domino. What's the big hit, I guess? Blueberry Hill, right? That was the one?
Probably the biggest, yeah. Ain't that a shame? Another great one.
82 years old today. Singer Michael Bolton celebrates his 57th birthday. Erykah Badu is 38 years old. And Corinne Bailey Ray.
Yes.
She is 31 years old today. Kevin, give me a little Corinne Bailey Ray.
Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow.
An un. Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. Let's do it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Ryan.
His finest work.
Even blind moviegoers can appreciate that. I'm Ralph Garman.
Actor Tracy Morgan talking about the new film Cop Out coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, our old friend Petros Papadakis is going to be joining us to talk about all things sports, all things Olympics, too. Hey, we need your help, Kevin and Bean listener. From time to time on the show, one of the things that we love doing is getting an expert in a particular field that we have all had questions about. He's got an interesting job or does something neat that we want to know about. And right now we're trying to line up a new Ask a Cop. It's been a while. We've done it a couple times in the past. It's always fascinating because we all have questions for police officers, how they work, how they do the job they do, how they make the decisions they make. But we're looking for a police officer who can come into the Kevin and Bean Show and take questions from listeners. But I guess there's some particulars that we have in mind, Kevin. Is that
right? Hopefully we can find a detective, and hopefully, you know, it's hard to say if you can talk freely if you're currently employed by the police. You know what I mean? Like if people have questions and a lot of times you have to find somebody that's retired or doesn't have a lot to lose that will tell you the truth. I don't know if that's the case or not. If you think you can speak freely, we'd love to talk to you and feature you on this show. Most of the interaction that I have with the cops is after they pulled me over. So they're not, you know, unless you know a cop, you don't really get to ask questions. Interesting questions and whatnot, because you're trying to figure out how to get out of the ticket or whatever you're thinking, you know.
And by the way, that's one of the reasons we want to have a police officer on, is because if you're a detective, you can answer questions on a wide range of topics that have to do with, your job. But you've also been involved. You've also been on the street. You've also been a uniformed cop out there, and you interact with the public. And we are dying to know how you decide to pull me over and what can I do to lessen the impact of this ticket. I mean, we all have questions like that for you. So if you can speak freely, whether you're currently employed or maybe better yet, recently retired, we want to hear from you. You can do. You can get in touch with us one of two ways. You can either call anytime during the show at 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number here at Kevin and Bean. Or you can email our producer, Alex, at and you can get her address on the website, too. So you can either email Alex or you can call us. But we definitely want to line up. Ask a police officer if you want to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show. We'd love to have you.
All right. Normally on Fridays, we have Adam Carolla in the studio, and he does This Week in Rage.
Mm-hmm.
He's busy shooting a TV show.
He's working on his
Which
his
I'm putting
pilot,
in air quotes because I'm not sure if that's code for anything else or not.
No,
if he's
I think
actually
he's
working on it.
I think he really is. Okay. I think he's actually got a show and he's actually working. So he was unable to join us today.
He always does This Week in Rage. And I got to tell you, what we'd like to do now is we'd like to have you fill in for Adam. We'd like to have you call at 1-800-520-1067 with the things that drive you crazy. The smaller the better, obviously. Because usually he picks stuff, you go, I don't like bacon. And you go, how? What? How does this make the top three?
I got a bone to pick with water.
Right. So the smaller the better, but the stuff that seems to drive you crazy that no one else seems to notice. Mine, I've mentioned before many times, which is old drivers. And I think it's because the area that I live in is predominantly old drivers. Right. And yesterday, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, I sat behind an old woman through an entire green light.
Mm.
And there was
I know you. You were on your horn 2 seconds in, right?
One touch. Just, I knew I was going to let you. I want to wake you up. And then, and then people behind me started honking. And then they were mad at me because I wasn't stepping up with the person behind her is supposed to do, which is rammer. And so then it was like, and I didn't know whether to call the AAA, have them come out with the jaws of life.
Was she dead? Did you check?
Good question.
Had she died behind the wheel?
Literally. She looked like she was 90. Literally, the light turned yellow and then red and then green again. And I was ready to literally push her through the intersection.
Oh, my God.
And she just pulled out like nothing happened.
It's so weird that you would be saying this, by the way, because yesterday I was out with Donna and we pulled up at a stoplight next to a woman who I swear to you, if she wasn't 90, I honestly, there's no way she wasn't at least 90. She was so unbelievably old and she just looked terrified.
Yeah.
She was behind the wheel. We're at a red light and you could just tell it was taking every ounce of strength she had to focus on whatever it was she was supposed to do next. It wasn't at all like casual, just sitting there waiting for the light. I mean, she looked panicked behind the wheel, and I was thinking, that's good.
Yeah.
What do you do about that? I mean, unless you have somebody in your life who's going to take the keys away, those people do continue to drive until they kill themselves or others, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what happens.
Basically, yeah. And yeah. They're always short. They can't see over the steering wheel. They're always tiny little things. Tiny little
shrunk. Tiny
little
frail. They used to
be able
to, and now they can't.
Come on now. So anyway, it doesn't have to be about that. It has to be about anything that bothers you, the smaller the better. Psycho Mike, you have one?
Mine's very similar to yours, Kevin, and it's Fixie Cruise. And that may be unique to Southern California, so I'm sorry to some of our affiliates that don't know what that is. But what that is a group of hipsters who ride fixed gear bikes around town. That's the new hip thing. And what essentially, it's guys who run 40 deep on these single gear bikes, and they're wearing wingtips and have their hair cut like, you know, with a stapler and cut off corduroys super tight with iPods on. And it's bad enough when you're behind a group of bikers that are like the Lance Armstrong type of guys, because they're going fast and you still have to wait, you know, to move around.
When you say bike, you're not talking about motorcycle. You're talking about bicycle.
I'm talking about literally bicycles, and they're going 4 miles an hour because they're hipsters and they're cool and they want to go out and cruise with their friends. It's the new hip thing to do.
Yeah.
But traffic's bad enough as is. So you're now behind a group of dudes on bicycles that can't move over 10 miles an hour even if they wanted to.
And they also sort of have the right of way according to the laws, so they know that.
And I can't do what I want to do, which is hit them.
Well, you could. You just have to not get caught.
Right.
Mike, I tune out whenever you start talking, so I apologize if you already covered this. But why are they called Fixie Crews? What's that name?
Because they're fixed gear bikes. So the crew, they call themselves Fixie Crews. And that's like, it really is like the new hip thing to do.
That's the gayest crew I've ever heard of.
It's super gay.
Hey, you got a Fixie? Yeah, me too. We should join a group.
I just dream of
where do you want to ride? I don't care. Let's just ride.
In Mad Max, he had that snub-nosed shotgun with the pistol handle. He just roll around, just blast dudes out with it out of his car. And I just dream of it every day, just blast. Over and over and over again. Because like I said,
pull traffic, a zombie land and hit him with your car door.
Traffic in Center City is bad enough as is. And then you got these guys. And they have they have the sense of entitlement because they're suave.
Yeah.
So stop it. That's what you're best at.
Oh, yeah.
We're asking you to fill in for Adam Carolla the Week in Rage. You can call on any topic, something that's just getting under your skin, and you'll feel better if you're able to vent a little. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I'd like to throw something out there that I think I'm going to get some support on this time.
Okay.
What are the chances of that?
Generally, I don't care about stuff that anyone else cares about. I recognize that. But I'm telling you what. There needs to be a nationwide groundswell, maybe a petition. I don't know what we have to do. NBC cannot be allowed to bid on the Olympics anymore. They are so
terrible. Look, I'm really excited about these Olympics. I love the Olympics. NBC is virtually making these things unwatchable. First of all, in 2010, it is no longer acceptable to tape delay live sporting events. It is ridiculous. Some of the things that are running in prime time now are 12 hours old. It's almost impossible to go through your day and not find out if Lindsey Vonn wins a gold medal, for instance. Even by accident, even if you're not trying to pay attention to the news, you're going to get a large number of events spoiled.
You so don't understand how things work. It's the time difference. There's a huge time difference. And if they were to show it, it would be on like at 3 in the morning here.
No, so I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not, Kevin, because the Olympics, as you know, are in North America this year, so it'd be fine to air it live. Look, if you want to repackage it and air it in primetime later for folks who can't watch it when it happens at 10:30 in the morning, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But give people who are interested in it the opportunity to watch it. Take a page out of the CBS playbook that runs the March Madness tournament every year, and games start at 9 a.m. because that's when the games are being played.
That's true.
And you know what? If people want to see them, they watch them. If they want to tape them and watch them later, they can do that. But it's insane in this 24-hour world that we have. I mean, the trend is going in television shows. You know, they're doing the Grammys live. They did the Grammys live. They did the Golden Globes live. They do the Oscars live. I mean, there's a reason that they do that. It's because when stuff is happening live, people want to see it when it's happening live. They've got to stop it. They do the broadcast on NBC at night. I don't know how much you've been watching the primetime stuff, Kevin. It's so unbelievably choppy how they'll give you two minutes of one sport, and then they'll play 3 minutes of the commercials, and they'll run over here and do 2 minutes of another sport, and then come back for 5 minutes of Bob in his sweater in front of the fireplace. I mean, it's virtually unwatchable.
And then they go to that woman that talks like a man.
I wonder what it's like to be a lumberjack if you were in Canada. Hey, I'm a Canadian Mountie.
That's the stuff drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing an awful job with these Olympics. I mean, I think it's the worst from a network perspective that I've seen in a long, long time. And I know NBC has had it for a long time, but it seems even worse than 2 years ago. So what I'm saying is, ixnay on the NBC wave. That's what I'm saying for the Olympics next year.
All right.
And I hope you guys are with me on that.
I don't feel as strongly as you do because I fast forward through a lot.
Yeah.
But all right. I'm down with that. Okay. It seems to make sense. It also would help if you paid less attention. A little. I mean, really, if you paid just a little less attention. Because you know about stuff before it happens. You have a Google alert that says Lindsey Vonn is going to win a gold medal in 5 minutes. I don't know where you get them from, but you do.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, if you want to follow any other news, radio or television, the Olympics are so big that they become the lead story on those reports. You literally have to put yourself in a blackout to avoid finding the results of an event like that.
Why the out's got to be black?
Yeah. It's just a thing.
All right, a quick break, then we come back and we turn it over to you, the Kevin and Bean Lister. You get to fill in for Adam Carolla, the Week in Rage. What's bugging you? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm laughing because we're turning the Week in Rage with Adam Carolla. Adam couldn't make it today. We're turning it over to the listeners. I'm laughing at some of the calls that people have. Things that really upset people that the rest of us never, ever think about. And I feel your pain. I know what that's like. Let's start with Matt.
It's time for this week.
In Rage.
Pardon me. I didn't know we had the big intro.
Time
All
in.
Right. In for Adam Carolla. Let's go to Matt. He is on line three calling the Kevin and Bean Show today. Hey, Matt. Thanks for calling up. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Matt. Hello.
What drives you crazy?
Basically the way that elevator doors are portrayed in movies.
Elevator doors are portrayed in movies.
I swear to God, you always see movies like the killer is going after the main character. He jumps in an elevator, he presses a button, and it's like a compressed air door on Star Trek, and it's slammed shut. Door, any elevator door in real life. That person would have a knife jammed through their throat, and they'd be bleeding out on the floor.
So, in the interest of dramatic tension, to make the movie move along a little faster, they decide to make the elevator doors open and close real quick. And you're saying in real life, there's always a lot of standing around and waiting for both to happen.
In real life, I'm saying the fastest elevator door I've ever seen closed took 20 seconds.
All right. Excellent point, Matt. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Aaron, line four, calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Aaron. Thanks for calling. It's Week in Rage. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa, man.
Hi, Aaron.
I'm looking at you, people who write checks at the grocery store.
I was just behind one of you the other day.
I want to shoot these people with a musket. I mean,
With a musket. You're going to go old school on their asses.
Well, because they're old, generally.
Yeah, it's like they're historical actors reenacting 1975.
Well, here's my favorite part. At least they get the checkbook out and have it started before they get up to the cashier.
And that's good. Do they?
Oh, no, they wait until this.
And then they have to do the math to balance their checkbook while they're sitting there. They have to write all the numbers in and do the subtraction and stuff like that.
So your
point is, if you're not going to pay cash, go ahead and use a credit card or an ATM card, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I like rolled coins lady better than checkbook. Because at least she's got something. She's been collecting.
She's prepared.
She's got to find a way to pay. Yeah.
Yeah.
A checkbook?
I'm with you.
Yeah. No, that's a great call. Thank you very much, Aaron. You're very funny. All right. Let's try April line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're just joining us, the week in rage. No Adam Carolla this week, so we're turning the rage over to you. Hi, April. What bugs you?
Hey, party people. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, April.
What do you hate?
Okay, I hate it when people ride in the passenger seat of the car with their ugly feet sticking out of the window.
Really? That happens enough that you're angry?
Yeah.
I mean, you see it every once in a while, but...
Okay, it's like they want everybody to comment. And you know what? It's always the ones who just have the ugliest, like, ashiest, longest toenail, unkempt.
So you hate...
right up close.
You hate feet in general. You don't want them in your face.
I hate ugly feet.
All right.
I hear you.
I can't remember the last time I saw somebody riding with their feet out the window. I mean, you see a dog put his head out the window, but that's about it for me.
Or in the windshield, either way.
Yeah, that happens more.
Windshield, yeah. As offensive to me.
All right.
Okay, all right. Get your musket. I'll get Aaron's musket. Borrow it from him and kill those people. Thanks for the call. Dear Kevin, Mina, and Lisa, I'm at work, but I can't call in right now and tell you about my rage. I hate the guys in the gym locker room who feel it necessary to cruise around naked. Look, I know there's going to be nakedness because I, just like them, shower at the gym in the morning. But what's the deal with shaving or brushing your teeth naked? Is it that hard to put a towel around yourself? That's Paul writing in, who clearly has issues with his own sexuality.
I think Paul likes it. Let's go to Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I hate the old school NASCAR fans that still have the Rest in Peace Dale Earnhardt number 3 stickers on their F-150s. Guy's been dead a long time. It's time to let it go and move on. I mean, you don't see people running around with their cars with dead football players' names on their trucks or their cars or...
It's really interesting. I'm so glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this the other day. I don't see that as much as the ones that I can't understand are the bumper stickers that are clearly outdated. The bumper stickers about George Bush at this point. You know, I mean, at some point, don't you go, okay, expired.
Yeah.
That message is no longer valid. Let's go ahead. Or if you've still got a John Kerry for president bumper sticker on your car, you're just an a-hole.
No, I think you're both running into the people don't take bumper stickers off their car. They put them on.
Yeah, they never take them
off.
They
never take them off. And so as long as they have that car, they have Dale Earnhardt, whatever, rest in peace. And then eventually when they get a new car, that's not there anymore. But people don't take off bumper stickers ever.
What's that about?
I don't know. I don't have bumper stickers on my car, but.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's try Chris. He's got an interesting one. He or she has an interesting one on line 5. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
What's up?
My issue is I'm going to work. I go to the drive-thru window at Starbucks to get my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already late, usually.
Good.
And the people in front of me are ordering 10 drinks to take to their coworkers or whoever. It's a drive-thru window. Go fast. If you're ordering 10 drinks, tell your lazy coworkers to get their own drinks.
It's not drive-through in that you're not allowed to stop, though. I mean, you don't have to roll through and just grab as fast as you can. But I can understand. And then probably call their coworkers and go, hey, I'm at the window. You need
exactly. And you think if there's two cars, that's going to go fast.
Yeah, sure.
Go, oh, this is good.
Sure.
Bam. But now that doesn't happen.
So not so good. All right.
Yeah. So so Chris would like a new policy where you go 10 miles an hour through a drive-thru. Okay.
No, it should be you're only allowed to order 2 drinks if you go through the drive-thru window.
If you need more, get out of your car and go in.
Exactly.
All right. All right. All right. I hear you. Thank you.
I would like to say this was a pretty successful experiment, and a lot of our listeners are this close to busting a cap on someone's ass.
Yeah. Things are going to go bad pretty quickly.
Actor Tracy Morgan joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Petrith Papadigath will be here to talk about all things sports. By the way, I think we've really tapped into a vein of real rage out there, Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean, listeners are on the edge of their seats right now with anger, with what they couldn't get on the air.
About this weekend reach?
Yeah. Susan, double doors, in and out. The a-holes that wait for you when you're going out a door so they can slip in the door without having to open it themselves. How freaking lazy are you that you can't open a door?
Start watching for this. It'll blow your mind how many people do it. I mean, that's the type of thing that just you know, makes somebody go crazy and start bringing a gun to work. I mean, it's kind of dangerous out there right now.
Ask an anger management specialist. I think we need
it. All right,
let us tell you why things as we know it are going to end. Because we work for a company that is run by lawyers. And lawyers notoriously have a fantastic sense of they don't have a sense of humor at all. So basically, we have to run everything we do by them. And then they start off by telling us what's legal and what's not legal. And then they start moving into the, it's not very tasteful category. Right. And then they move into the, I don't find that funny. And then we fight.
Really?
Yeah. So then we fight back with, do you want us to tell you about the law? We'll handle funny. You tell us legal. So it's gotten bad. And
it's gotten so bad. It's gotten so much worse than ever before, to the point where they honestly don't want us to do anything ever. Shut up and play Sublime, basically, is what we're hearing from the attorneys.
Yeah.
Remember that song? Except for that one Sublime song that offends people because it mentions rape. Don't play that one, but play all the others, they say.
Remember that song that you did earlier in the week? It was so funny, Mike.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, that was. Yeah, we couldn't.
Yeah, you'll never hear that song.
We wanted to check in with Sean Connery, which is what we've done 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Craig was secretly married to his longtime girlfriend. That's the report.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's long said that if he did it, he would do it quietly. He's spotted with a wedding ring. So the report is that he's married to his longtime girlfriend. And so we were going to check in with Sean Connery and find out what he thought about that, because we thought that might be funny. Here's the response.
Sean, of course, has a considered opinion about it, all the actors who have followed him as James Bond, and it's not the most flattering opinion in the world. But also, before we hear the response from the lawyers, I'd like to point out, nobody listening to the show thinks it's really Sean Connery.
Correct,
It's clearly Ralph doing a funny voice. It's not really Sean Connery, okay? No one's confused by that. And he says crazy things because it's funny. Okay.
Oh, you're so naive, Bean. All right, here's the letter we got from the lawyers. Alex, please read.
The lawyer email of the week. This is way over the line.
This is, by the way, let me just set this up again. We pre-recorded talking to him. We beeped every word in it.
Yes. Correct.
Even words that didn't need to be beeped. It's just one long, continuous beep. And now this is their response.
This is way over the line, both in the offensive comments about the Japanese. And in the sexual innuendo that is not totally obliterated and taken in the context could be an indecency issue. Also, it is defamatory to the groom as it alleges that he takes it in the A.
it's clearly a funny voice guy, though, right? Nobody is listening going, oh, my God, I didn't realize Daniel Craig was gay. I mean, it's pretty obvious that that's not true.
Do you understand that a woman who went to Harvard had to write me the line, he takes it in the A? Sean Connery may be used to this mockery, but this guy is probably not.
Daniel Craig isn't?
No.
So her fear is that Daniel Craig is going to be listening.
And be offended.
Is going to think that it's really Sean Connery.
Correct. Can I tell you a funny joke real quick, Dean? The attorneys, one of them, I don't know, like 6 months ago, actually thought that it was Sean Connery. We had to tell him it wasn't.
Oh, no.
Swear to God.
He does good voices. Ralph does good voices.
Totally.
I can see that.
Come on. But you work on Team Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, I know.
And you thought Sean Connery actually said that.
Yeah.
Come on.
But, I mean, when we talked to Sean and he said, why is he marrying that girl? She might have started World War II by invading Pearl Harbor. And we point out that she's 30 years old. There's no way she had anything to do with it. They think somehow people are going to suggest that this program is suggesting that she's involved in World War II.
Yes.
I mean, clearly the whole thing is a gag.
There's
right?
no such thing as cartoonish, outlandish comedy. It doesn't exist because someone will think it's real.
If one person gets upset, we're not allowed to do it.
Oh, giant F you.
Well, we need to keep doing these and then keep getting these letters and keep reading these letters because this makes me laugh. I would like you to ask pointedly exactly which lines.
Yeah.
Please explain. She didn't
What did you mean by F in the A?
Yeah.
Please explain that in great detail.
Noted.
Well, Lisa, we're going to take care of your request here because the great Oscar-winning actor Sean Connery is on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we thought it might be time to get an update on this story and other things. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good morrow to you, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good, sir.
Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that because I'm constantly concerned for your well-being and health.
Did you see the story, my old friend, about Daniel Craig getting married?
I absolutely did, and I couldn't be more pleased for the both of them. They make a lovely couple.
They do they? I haven't
they
seen them.
Do.
Okay.
He is enormously talented, and she couldn't be more lovely or intelligent.
Right.
So you are a fan of Daniel Craig and believe that he has done the legacy of the great James Bond movie character justice then?
Not just that, but in all of his roles, I find him to be exemplary, not only as an artist, but as a human being. It'd be hard-pressed to find someone kinder.
That's great. Now, Sean, were you at the wedding?
I was indeed.
Oh, great.
I stopped by, and I brought them some homemade cotton candy and a cinnamon spice apple bundt cake that I made.
You made that yourself?
I did.
Do you have a special recipe that you came up with?
I do. It's one I've made before when I take
it
over to the hospice.
Right.
When I drop it off to the terminally ill patients so they can have a little sweet after their meals because sometimes they have a hard time keeping down the food.
I didn't know you did that. That's great.
I do that on my way to reading to the blind. Sometimes I'll stop off and read a few. You know, verses from the Bible and try to give them some uplifting time with me before I go home and I neuter and spade puppies and cats for the neighborhood to make sure that the overpopulation of animals is controlled.
That's beautiful. Hey, Mr. Connery, I don't know much about the new Mrs. Craig, Satsuki Mitchell. Is she a nice lady, too?
She is a lovely lady. I, from what I understand, she is of Asian descent.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And from all
what
accounts,
does that tell you?
It tells me that she is a fine, upstanding person,
mm-hmm.
and that she's no different than anyone else. That Asians and African Americans and Caucasians were all the same. None of them have any traits that are particularly interesting or stand out in any way. We're all one big homogenized lump of humanity, and that's the way I like it.
But, John, is there nothing funny about any of the races?
No, there is. Of course there's not. Nor is there anything complimentary about any of the races.
Yeah, that's not allowed either, by the way.
I would not say anything negative nor positive about any one group of any kind. Race, religious, social, political. I think we're all exactly the same.
Okay, and just not to put too fine a point on it, though, you love Daniel Craig, and you know how heterosexual he is, and you're not surprised that he married such a beautiful young woman.
He is absolutely heterosexual. And that is a fine thing, but let's not cast negative connotations on homosexuality.
That's a good point, Sean.
I believe that homosexuality is just as vital a choice or a predisposition, depending on how you look at it.
Sure.
Some people might think it's a choice. Some people might think it's nurture over nature or nature over nurture.
Sure, yeah.
I think each side is equally right.
That's beautiful.
And that homosexuality is in and of itself fine. And homosexuality is the same as heterosexuality, only with different sex partners that I can't even tell anymore who's gay and who's straight.
Okay.
Because
wow.
Everything is wonderful about both things.
Wow.
I think finally we've reached a point where we can all agree on everything that Mr. Connery is saying. That was a very, very beautiful, beautiful, well-thought-out speech,
Thank you,
sir.
Gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I find you both very talented. That young lady in your studio there, Lisa May, couldn't be a finer example of womanhood. And I think women are not better than men or less than men in any way, but equal to. Men and women are completely equal on all levels.
Okay, is there anything funny?
All just get along and just love each other and be and peaceful and remember that words can hurt.
Is there anything funny and or interesting about women or men?
No, there's nothing really.
Okay.
There's no
all
differences
right.
that I can find.
All right. Okay.
I think men and women are equal on every possible level.
All right.
Okay. So those who would
find one particular female lawyer is a total bitch.
Interesting.
Yeah.
As do
you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Our friend Petros Papadakis is in the next room. Do we put up the splash guard or whatever we got to do to stay out of the spray when Petros comes in? Are we all set? We
got the umbrellas. Yeah, that's we got
rough,
everything.
Man. I'm just saying. You know how he is. He's animated when he talks. He'll be joining us also, Tracy Morgan from the film Cop Out, coming up in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I realize I have to give something away here, and I'm not sure if I told Miss Cleo what the answer to my trivia question is.
Well, just shout it out.
That would be giving away the answer.
Right.
Did I tell you
comes.
What the answer was?
Not at all.
Okay, turn my microphone off. I'm going to whisper in her ear.
All right.
La 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 la.
Come on, Bean. I tried to turn his mic up.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
You bastard.
We got to be on the same page. I was trying to help the listener.
All right. I've been talking all week about the Paley Fest 2010. It's an amazing series of evenings with some of your favorite television shows, past and present. It is an evening with the cast and creators of some of the hottest television shows right now. It really is a great, great series of events. The tickets I have today are for a little show called Glee, which is returning soon on Fox. I cannot wait for the return of Glee. I love this show. It's going to be the cast and creators of Glee. You get to spend an evening with them, hear about the show, how they got their jobs, how the show came together, and then you get to ask them questions. It's a very intimate evening with the cast and crew of Glee. Here's the trivia question. One of the creators of Glee, Ryan Murphy, very talented guy, also created another show, very popular show, that is about as far away from Glee as you could possibly get. Name the TV show that Ryan Murphy created before Glee. If you know the answer, 1-800-520-1067, and you will get yourself a pair of tickets if you're one of the first five callers with the correct answer. It's just that simple.
Okay.
By the way, Glee's bringing Molly Shannon on this season. I'm scared. I'm scared.
Yeah, she scares me too.
I'm not a Molly Shannon fan.
I don't know who she is. Sorry.
She was on Saturday Night Live years ago.
Yeah,
she used to do Superstar. Remember that character she used to do? And they tried to make a movie out of that. She was on that Kath and Kim show. Remember that nightmare that was on Thursday night comedy lineup?
I do.
Yeah. So I'm just saying. I'm a scared.
Don't mess with it. It's fine the way it is. Yeah, I hear you.
Just let Jane Lynch just be half the show and the other half the kids sing. That's all I need.
I hear you.
Funny stuff.
They did a great job with Kristen Chenoweth, though, when she
was
when
she great. No, they've had some good guest stars. I'm just not sure Molly Shannon is one of them.
All right.
For instance, they're going to have Doogie Howser on. What's the kid's name?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris is going to be on. Excellent choice. Dude sings and dances, and he's very funny.
And he's funny,
funny stuff. I'm just saying.
Right.
Some are better than others.
I got you.
You hear me?
Trust him, Ralph. Trust the creators.
That's my
trust
problem.
Them.
I don't trust. I might have to go to this evening with them and stand up and say,
I'm worried about
my boxer. I know we're laughing a lot, and we try to on this show, but just sad news about Andrew Koenig, who played, of course, Boner on Growing Pains, the son of Walter Koenig, who was Chekhov in Star Trek. Yesterday, Vancouver police found his body in the Vancouver Stanley Park. Apparently, the friends and family of Andrew had all been up there in Vancouver. They were combing the city trying to find him and see if he was okay. And sadly, he turned up deceased in the Thousand Acre Park there in Vancouver. Police say they believe no foul play was involved. In fact, his father, Walter, told reporters that Andrew did suffer from depression. And they know that, in his quote, my son took his own life because he stopped taking his medication about a year ago. So they were concerned, he and his wife, Judy. And Andrew's sister, Danielle, who's a friend of mine, actually. So they were all up there looking for Andrew and hoping for the best. But unfortunately, things did not work out. So our thoughts go out to them, naturally. Just a sad story. Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
She's an interesting duck, this Scarlett Johansson.
Giant size can.
Yes. And she has some interesting friends. Apparently, lately, she's been hanging out with Axl Rose. The two
really?
Have been inseparable.
What?
And people aren't even trying to insinuate, that there's some sort of romantic connection between the two of them. Apparently, they're just pals. And the thing that brought them together was their mutual love for ping pong.
What's going on?
No, we're playing Mad Libs here.
What's happening? They have been seen in New York. Apparently, they've got some very popular ping pong bars in New York. Are you familiar with this?
No.
You know, like you go into
beer pong.
No, ping pong.
I hear the word. I see you saying the words.
Ping
right.
Pong.
I hear that, but
table tennis. Or tennis, if you will.
Either one.
Depending on, you know.
Not beer pong.
Whether you have a stroke or not.
Ping pong in a bar.
They've got ping pong bars. You know when you go into a pool hall and there's a bar there and there's a bunch of pool tables and people are playing pool?
Yeah.
They have ping pong bars.
Okay.
And Axel and Scarlett Johansson love to drink and play ping pong. Are you listening to me?
Yeah, but none of the words are making sense.
Ping pong.
Those two aren't doing...
They have a love of table tennis. In fact, Axel brings his own paddle. He's one of those guys. You ever see the guys in the pool halls that show up with their own little case and they come out and start screwing their own cue together?
They have to unzip the case first. Yeah,
well,
sure.
Apparently, Axel's got that for his ping pong paddle.
All right, good.
Yeah. You know what? Does Axel make a record? Little less ping pong, Axel.
Yeah, no kidding. Does Axel have
a record?
Have a comment?
Yeah.
I really like ping pong. Like to hit that ball. Hit the big green table. I play it all day long.
Isn't that a waste of whatever time you have with Scarlett Johansson to play ping pong.
Unless it's nude ping pong, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because they don't sell ping pong tables for your home. I know
they
that.
They sure don't. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. We have Stacy.
We do. Stacy.
Hi.
Hi. Ryan Murray, one of the, one of the creators of Glee, also created what popular television show?
Nip Tuck.
Hi.
Yay.
Dark, she plots herself with her mouth.
Dark,
I like it.
Dark, creepy Nip Tuck. And then
that?
Guy comes along with Sunny Happy Glee.
Yep.
What are the odds?
That's pretty talented.
Who knew?
Congratulations, Stacy. Apparently you knew.
Thank you.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, and you're going to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Glee. Also, congratulations to Jenna, Brian, Kara, and Santiago. They're all going to that evening as well. So,
hello.
Later on today, I'll be giving away tickets for the evening with Curb Your Enthusiasm. How about that? How about that? That's a reason to stick around.
That's awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Michael Bolton is 57 years old today. Singer
I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. Yeah. For my money, I don't know if it gets any better than when he sings When a Man Loves a Woman.
That's so true. Erykah Badu is 38 years old. And Corinne Bailey-Ray is 31 years old today. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph Garman, why don't you introduce our next guest, your close personal friend, Tracy Morgan.
I got to see the movie this week. I got to see Cop Out, a very special press screening. And I got to tell you, it is funny as hell, especially the stuff that goes on between Tracy and Bruce Willis and Sean William Scott. You're going to enjoy yourself. Please welcome one of the stars of the show, Tracy Morgan.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, what's up, Kev? What's up, Bing?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm just excited. You know, today's a big day, you know?
Yeah, and we're excited for you, too. I mean, we can't wait to see the movie. I'm so glad that we finally have you on the show, because I've always wanted to know if you're really crazy or if you just act crazy, and I'm hoping by the end of this interview I'll have that answer.
I think I'm a little bit of both.
A little both. All right, good.
I'm a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll. You know?
I'm impression.
A little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll, and a little bit of hip hop.
Exactly.
So I'm off the meat rack.
You do seem like a guy, baby.
I'll say that again.
I say you do seem like a guy who loves life, who really is enjoying himself as he goes through life every day.
Dude, you got to live life, because once you're dead, it ain't worth living.
That's true.
That's true.
I never thought of it quite that way.
You know, I'm above ground, so I'm ahead of the game.
So you're saying you're still alive? So things
Forget
are good.
Forget about it. I don't cook like those boombas in Brooklyn.
Okay. All right. At least my question has been answered.
All right. Tell us how you got hooked up with this movie and this role.
How I got hooked up with this movie and this role?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I went to a strip club one time.
Right.
And that girl knew somebody. Yeah, I'm just saying. I got a call one day, and it was just like, we want you to do the movie with Bruce Willis, so.
You said yes.
All the hard work on Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock paid off.
There you go.
I guess the speech at the Golden Globes paid off.
Did you know Bruce Willis at all?
I didn't know the guy. No, I met him one time before we started filming. I had lunch with him in L.A., and then we started filming. 2 weeks later, we were filming, and the chemistry just clicked, and we were fortunate.
Now, Tracy, I saw the film, and it's very funny, but a lot of the stuff is obviously being improvised between you and Sean William Scott, especially. Did Smith just let you guys go and then just take the best of it?
Man, that's Kev, man. Kev plays it loose, and he plays it, what he said, just like Jackie Gleason, stay loose and stay wide. That's all he does. The set with Kevin Smith is so down-to-earth, man.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
It's funny if it makes him laugh me doing it. He's down like 4 flat tires, brother.
Yeah,
Adam Brody and Kevin Pollak and everybody involved, Guillermo, Anna, everybody in the movie, man. We had the little boy, Marcus. We had a ball, man. We had a fun. We had so much fun doing it.
You also had Rashida Jones.
Yeah, it plays your wife. Not too shabby.
Rashida Jones is my baby girl.
There you go.
Next life, that's going to be my real wife. And she's going to get pregnant.
We are talking to actor Tracy Morgan, of course, who's hilarious on 30 Rock. And we're talking about Cop Out, the Kevin Smith-directed film that opens up today. I think we've got a scene. This is exactly what the type of thing Ralph is talking about Tracy and Sean William Scott. Really sounded like they're having too much fun making this movie. Listen to this.
Who are you trying to call here, lady?
6 o'clock in the morning. She's probably asleep.
Can I get her number? Oh, psych. I already got it.
Shut up! You want to shoot me?
I'll shoot you right in the face!
I'll shoot you in the face. What?
Shut up! Stop repeating. Shut up, man.
Man.
You see what you're doing, Jim? Yo, man, don't be saying what I say. Shut your mouth! Not a peep!
Duck season.
Rabbit season.
Come on!
We do live in the golden age of debate. I just like to say that that's a... Hey, speaking of getting Rashida Jones pregnant, which I think we can all sign off on, that's a great idea, Tracy. Let's talk about impregnating. Let's talk about your Jimmy Kimmel Live video that debuted a couple nights ago, which is unbelievable. Jimmy's out there like Little John or something. Tell me about how this thing came to pass.
Well, I did this show. I did this show last week, and then after the show, he was like, "Yo, listen, I got this idea," and we did it in 2 hours.
Wow.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Now, Tracy
recorded it and filmed it in 2 hours.
Wow. Tracy is the rapper. Jimmy Kimmel is the auto-tune singer.
Yeah, he's a Little John.
And it's awesome. Here's a little clip of that.
I put a baby in you.
Let's go.
Because I'm a hope to put a baby in you.
Say yes.
I'll put the miracles of babies in you.
Don't run.
I would have liked to put a baby in you. Girl.
What?
You about to get some babies in you. Whether I like it or not, and I like it a lot.
I believe in miracles.
This is the Jimmy Kimmel part.
Now,
if you impregnated, you can be my bottom.
Come on.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Tracy, you are the new R. Kelly, my friend.
Yeah, my boy John Kimmel wrote it.
Oh, really? Jimmy's brother, John. Love him.
Yeah, John Kimmel wrote it.
Oh, that's great. Well, we couldn't be happier for you. It's great to talk to you. We're all excited about Cop Out, and you're the best, Tracy. We want to have you in sometime soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Thanks for doing it today.
Be well.
I look at Petros' life, and I go, he's living a dream. He's married to a smoking hot chick. He's got an awesome nationally syndicated radio show. He does tons of college football on television. He should be happy, yet every time he walks in, I feel like he's one step closer to suicide. What's going on
you
with
guys
you,
feel
Why
like,
are you so down?
I feel like I'm a dark cloud.
Well, right? Yeah.
Don't be such a dark cloud, Pete.
Today, more than normal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? Because I sat in your green room for too long. You know, they told me, well, it's not even a green room. You just sit there between Alex and Dave and Ralph and his leather jacket.
Right.
And, you know, my goal today was to take a picture with Ralph and put it up on a Twitter.
Okay.
But I was intimidated by that leather so early in the morning. You know what I mean? It takes a real man to put on that kind of, like, Roger Lodge type of guy to put on leather like that so early in the day.
That coat comes off in May or something, and then it's in the closet until, you know, October. So you got the whole summer to get a picture without the leather jacket.
You know, I got depressed, you guys, to be honest, driving in and listening to you.
Oh.
About the lawyers, man.
Oh,
you know, I mean, I just can't understand that you guys have to go through that and live that life after all these years. I mean, I do a radio show. Not sure I'm no Kevin and Bean around here, but damn, if I had lawyers trying to call me and tell me what I can and can't do every day and what's offensive and what's not offensive, and if I can't say things like vagina, I'd be livid. I'd be dead. I'd get in some cinder block shoes and dive into the harbor in Long Beach.
Yeah, we passed that point last fall.
I felt bad for you guys.
Yeah. I don't want to spend much time talking on this because we have a lot of sports stuff we want to talk to you about because that's you know you're an expert. But
not really. I mean,
the truth is that the lawyers that we deal with are in A, they're in New York. B, they've never heard us or our show. B, they C, they don't care what our listeners want.
I like when they tell you what's tasteful.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know. I don't think that's very funny. That's not tasteful. Hey, well, thanks a lot, there, douchebag.
We need that.
Look,
head on back to Columbia University and just leave us alone. My sister's a lawyer, and she's married to a lawyer. And lawyers are like what people do when they're not doctors. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to be a doctor. Blood freaks me out, but I'm smart.
Right.
What should I do?
Here's the problem, though. I know a bunch of lawyers. Most of them not happy.
No, they're hateful. They sit there in a pile of paperwork, and they pull rank on each other, and they all want to die, and they make everybody else's lives miserable.
So
thanks a lot.
One last story, and then we'll move on. But we were on the phone with our lawyer, and she was saying, you know, use it. Listen to this. She said it for real.
You guys are so screwed.
She said this for real. Use this as a resource. we're here to help you. You know, like, you should run everything by us.
Yeah.
Everything. And I said, what is it about your job that makes you want to say yes to anything ever? Because that's the only way you could ever get in trouble. Otherwise, you say no to everything because that's the safe
way. Yeah, you just do it, man. You know, so, just do it and then be like, hey, man.
No, no,
Kevin,
we're on your
Pete,
side.
What you want, man.
No, we're on your side.
Well, here's my thing, Pete, is that Kevin and I have been doing this show for a really, really long time.
Yes,
and
I know.
And I think we have an idea of what listeners of this program would like to hear, okay? And my view is if people continue to enjoy that kind of humor, that kind of entertainment, then we'll keep putting it on the show. Otherwise, they're not going to listen anymore. So it'll work itself out. We don't need all sorts of outside influence.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a sore subject.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is a little bit. Yeah. It is, yeah. All right, let me turn the attention.
I felt depressed for you. I'm serious.
It's been going on for over a year now.
God bless you. God bless you.
Let me turn
you
the attention.
You still bring great product to the people of the city. God bless you.
I'm not sure that's true.
Here's something else that P is depressed about that I don't get. P walks in with his shoulders down, looking at the floor, and he goes, man, I sure hated having to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, the worst.
But that's the kind of thing that I don't understand, P, because dude, that, why wouldn't
sucked.
A guy like you would love that?
You guys are lucky you put Matt on that week and not me. I was in the car, and Matt's like, oh, this is great. You know, we're doing this, and yeah, I had a few beverages last night.
See, that's the key.
Did you know the square root of 1,000 is, you know, I mean, Matt was doing that, and he was all happy. I was sitting in the front seat of our PT Cruiser with a freaking gun in my mouth. It is the worst situation ever, the Super Bowl. First of all, what the hell is wrong with South Beach, okay? Why am I paying $700 a night to stay at a hotel and the building next door is filled with mold and boarded up? Shouldn't that be some kind of stipulation in South Beach where every other building is not like where squatters are living and the musical Rent is happening like as everybody else is partying? And really, how many guys in jerseys trying to rub up on famous people? How many ovulating women trying to have sex with pro ballers? How many Bud Light limes can one man consume? I mean, it was awful. It was just a terrible place.
Did you drink heavily?
Of course I did. What do you think? Who do you think you're talking to?
Well, I know, but then how does that not make it better?
Hey, look. Sarah Palin eats, therefore she hunts. I work, therefore I drink. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got to drink all the time just to get through this kind of thing. And my wife was there, and like one night they were playing hip-hop, and she was like, you never take me out dancing. I was like, would you look at your freaking husband? Do you ever take Grimace from McDonald's out dancing? What do you mean I never took you out dancing? Are you crazy?
Are you on any kind of medication?
I'm on Prozac. What are you talking about?
You should up it.
And my inhalers for my asthma.
You should up the Prozac.
Are you seeing a professional? Are you seeing a therapist?
No, he got too old. I had a therapist from when I was like 14. Dr. Salib. He's a wonderful Egyptian man, kind of guy with a matching hat, suit, and umbrella.
But he died, so you don't have problems?
He didn't die. It's just that he started to get so old.
Right, okay.
And he stopped seeing everybody but me.
Okay.
So he'd show up. We'd be like at a neutral site. You know, it was like a CIA meeting. And he
could
barely move, you know. Tell me, what is going on with you? You know, I was just like, Doc, you know, you look so old and decrepit. What's going on with you? Well, my sciatica.
And then he would spend the whole time
We'd spend an hour talking about all his ailments. Yeah. I just felt bad. I mean, I still take the drugs he prescribed to me
as
a child.
Yeah, I'm saying triple whatever it is he prescribed you.
I'm fine, okay? All right. I feel great. I want to talk. I want my Bob Costas song. That's why I drove up.
All right. We can do that when we come back, because one of the reasons we wanted to have you in today
is about Costas and that Koreana, man, that wild, round-headed Korean girl. Wow.
The Olympics do end this weekend, and so we're running out of time for our once every 2 years Bob Costas is a dick conversation. But I know that you've got strong opinions on that, so we'll return right after this with our friend Petros Papadakis if he survives the break. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show,
106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:35.
What was she fat?
Why is everyone yelling?
I'm not following the conversation.
We've lost control. Our friend Petros Papadakis is in studio from the nationally syndicated radio show. Hey, P, I feel like Kevin and I are on an island in here today being so excited about USA hockey versus Finland at noon
West
Coast time.
Man. Figure skating.
Not even you. It's all about figure
skating, man. It's all about my heart fluttering when someone takes the ice.
I watched the figure skating last night, by the way, and I'm telling you, that was
Hamilton,
an amazing performance.
Hey, let me tell you something for real, Bean. Scott Hamilton and Peggy Fleming might be the two best broadcasters of all time. Okay.
Bean said that about Scott Hamilton, and I called
him. The way they lay it down for people?
Yeah.
No, Scott Hamilton's a very, very good broadcaster, and Kevin refuses to believe me when I tell him that Scott Hamilton is as heterosexual as you are.
Well,
I
mean, the guy has... Dude, there's like a deli counter at that guy's bed.
Is that right?
He just... Jackrabbit style, man. That guy just destroys chicks. He or just puts the sow cow right between their legs.
Or he's been married for 20 years and has a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
but he's super heterosexual.
Hamilton destroys it.
All right, but let's talk about... you're kidding about figure skating. You know,
dude.
You're kidding.
No.
You're not.
Every year this happens to me. You know, every year, or every Olympics it happens to me. You know, I try to tolerate Kostas. I can't. But I hang on and I watch the events and it's wonderful. Look, that young Korean girl was just
unbelievable.
She was glorious. You know, that's the best way to describe it. She was absolutely glorious and it was an inspiring performance. And then, you know, the Canadian whose mom died, she got the bronze. The Japonesa was flying around out there, that little Japanese girl, not as cute as a Korean.
You know, ice skating.
I love the Koreans. You know, I had a tough, angry Korean fullback when I played in high school, Walter Tsai.
Hey.
And he had a giant, he had a huge round head. And, you know, he'd block off tackle for your boy, the old P, and I would cut up the field, and the wacky Korean would follow me into the end zone. I mean, it was really something. I love the Korean people. They're very resilient and tough people.
Yes,
Kevin, they eat kimchi.
This Korean last night, Kevin, had the highest Olympic score in the history of figure skating.
She broke
with her
record.
Performance last night. She broke a record. I mean, it was a flawless performance. It was unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
Really, really nice.
Are we talking about figure skating?
Oh, Matt does that whenever I talk about USC basketball. I do not appreciate that.
But is that what we're still talking about?
I'm sorry. Are we talking about USC basketball? Yeah, we're talking about USC basketball. Yeah, we're talking about figure skating. It's the number one event in the Olympics in America.
True. I'm not arguing that, but I'm saying it's down there on my list of events.
And U.S. hockey's not even going to medal. They're going to get blown out, man. The Canadians are going to kill them.
Okay, but what about Finland, though? Can they beat Finland with the great Teemu Selänne?
Yeah, the Finns are out there doing their thing.
I don't know. He's just hating on hockey because I like it.
Hey, hockey's great. The guys are tough. They're wonderful. I just don't quite understand it on television.
You understand it.
I don't even know what guys are, man. Which guys are doing what. All I know is I went to see the Kings in the 80s, and there were dudes out there with no helmets. Grandfathered in. They didn't have to wear no helmets. Just guys out there with mullets.
That is true.
Doing it.
And that's what you miss?
Gold, just doing their thing.
All right, you brought up briefly the Bob Kostas topic, and this has been a recurring theme for us. Now, let me just finish. This has been a recurring theme on the Kevin and Bean Show since the Olympic Games began last week, okay? Because we discussed this at length a few days ago. We both, Kevin and I, both get the vague feeling that Bob Kostas is a dick, but we're not sure why.
Vague?
Well, he's smarter than I am, by far, but... there are a lot of people who are smarter than I am that I don't get that smug feeling from.
Mix in a smile. How about it?
Would
it kill you to smile? You're calling the freaking Olympic Games, okay? You do it every year.
Right.
Every 2 years. Smile. Don't sit there and act like you're above the whole damn thing. I'm so tired of him acting like he's above the Olympics, that nothing impresses him, that nothing is a big deal, that he can't smile at anything, that any color analyst or any feature reporter or anybody that comes in there, he sits there and condescends any guest, any athlete. He sits there and condescends and is all sarcastic and smug with him. You're 4'11". Shut the F up, smile, and present us the freaking Olympics. It's every 2 years and we get excited about it as a country. Why don't you act, if we're excited about it, why don't you act excited about it? Since you're the one getting paid to present it, you little midget Greek baklava eating pasticho swilling a-hole.
Let me ask you this question.
Let me ask you this question. Yeah, get on the Kostas train.
Do you feel the same way about newscasters? If you tune in and Katie Couric is doing the news and she's doing it in a professional way where she's just presenting the facts as is without interjecting her own emotion and opinion, do you think that's inappropriate also?
This is news.
Dude,
he's the studio guy who's recapping the events that happened. He's not there as a fan. He's not there as a cheerleader for Team USA.
Yeah. Hey, Bill Moyers. Hey, how about it, sports?
Good reference.
How about we're watching for entertainment? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we want to be entertained when we watch the Olympics.
Lord
we want to be inspired.
P fakes it when P's on doing play-by-play or whatever. He fakes
it. Of course I do, and I'm a color analyst, but thank
whatever.
You.
Whatever. He brings it. He brings the comedy.
What a fantastic play! Oh, my God. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I've seen 30 things like that this week. Oh, my God. Did you see the physicality of that run?
But Bob can't do that.
The guy's not as good as me. He doesn't have to. He can smile. Can he smile?
But you're not.
Or
you're not
kind of palsy in his face where he can't smile.
I'm not arguing with you.
You're not arguing that you're not arguing that he's not a smart, articulate guy, right?
He is the premier.
And he seems to have a photographic memory.
He is the premier broadcaster in this country. There's no arguing. Can't argue it. He's a fantastic broadcaster. Yeah. I just would like it if he wasn't so freaking arrogant and smug when presenting us the Olympics. Hey, you want to do that on the NFL games? Fine. Who cares? Go ahead. We have Al Michaels and other people to,
other
to
options,
smile.
Right.
But if you're going to be the man sitting in that desk, if you're going to be the guy sitting in that chair, how about a little enthusiasmos, as the Greeks say? How about a little enthusiasm? You know? He's a Greek, too, and that's what really pains me about the whole thing.
Oh, you know? There you go.
I see the tie.
Hey, let me tell you representing your people.
He's taking some checks from the Greek community that should have come to me.
Is that right?
I'm going to suggest he's not.
Would you like to hear Omar's smash hit, Bob Costas is a Dick? Are you making that request? Do you want to hear that song?
Hey, there's a reason I came here.
If that's why you're here today?
And it wasn't to look at you on TV, Bean. Come
on,
let's do it.
That would make you happy. Well,
just for you, though. This is for you.
Bob's a Dick. 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 Bob's a Dick. 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 He's a Dick. 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 Bob's a giant dick. What a dick. 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 Bob's a dick. 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 Bob's a dick. 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 What a giant big dick. Such a dick. 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 Dick.
Is that longer than American Pie by Don McLean?
It might be.
We did have to take Omar to the hospital, give him some fluids after that.
I just thought that was Psycho Mike. I didn't know that was Omar.
That's Omar. He drums up some kind of cartoon hate that none of the rest of us could tap into.
Hey, except for you. Hey, Costas is a bad guy. Let me tell you something. He evokes an angry emotion in many of us. I just want him to smile, man.
Once.
I just want him to smile one time. And you know what I also figured out about the Winter Olympics, guys?
What?
Everything's done on snow or ice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that before. You know, it never really occurred to me.
What?
You know, yeah. Muy peligroso, too. Very dangerous is the Winter Olympics. More dangerous than the summer. I'm just thinking, you know, the Summer Olympics, there's so much. You know, can't we do some of the stuff that we do indoors for the Summer Olympics during the winter to spice it up a bit, like maybe some volleyball chicks? What do you say?
That's dumb.
What do you mean?
They're summer sports for a reason, and they're winter sports
but
for a reason.
But if it's indoors,
it just occurred to you?
If it's indoors, it's a sport for all seasons. So how about a little volleyball and a little indoor biking during the winter?
No, that's stupid.
Dude, because I can't watch a guy ski uphill and shoot a gun anymore. I just can't do it anymore.
I can't either.
Well, what else am I supposed to watch?
I can't
watch
that.
The Degrassi episodes aren't going to be new for a while.
Yeah, you're right. That's the only two options.
Do you guys watch The Bad Girls Club on Oxygen?
Yeah!
Dude, is that the best show ever?
Yes!
How great is that show?
Oh, my God.
God, I love that show.
They're not good, if that's what you're saying, those girls. If that's your point.
They're not good girls.
They're not good girls.
That occurred to me as well. So that's called the Bad Girls Club.
Nor pretty. Right.
All right, P. Well, listen, have a wonderful weekend. I'm sorry, we're out of time. We're done. You guys
want to put Bill Bellamy on and then bring me in? Mario Joyner coming in here to come on before me?
No, but we'll play this again.
So we don't have that kind of
Bob's a dick. Dick.
Okay. Dick. Can we bring Miss Cleo in here again?
We need Miss Cleo to be in here.
Oh my God.
Paging Miss Cleo.
Paging Miss Cleo, please come to the broadcast studio. Miss Cleo to the broadcast studio.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:55.
Well, while we kill time, Kevin, that last band, that's who's the lead singer?
Jonathan. Thank you, Mike, for that.
All right. Help. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The wheels are coming off the wagon here. We've just been informed, and I'm not kidding. You think we're making this up. We've just been informed that we're no longer allowed to play Bob's a Dick. Can you believe it? One of the best songs that's ever been played in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show. Now the attorneys have caught wind of Bob's a Dick, and we're
Bob's
not allowed to play it anymore.
A D.
A D.
Bob's a D. No.
That's right. Bob's a D.
You're not supposed to say the D word.
Bean, he's a D.
Bob's a D.
Is it 1956? Is it 1956 right now? Is that what's going on?
B a D.
B a D. I think is what we need to re-record.
Known as bad. B a D.
Yes, Bean. The answer to your question is yes.
Maybe you. Maybe. Well, maybe you can't have a conversation without using your little potty words, Mr. Dirty Mouth.
Sometimes that word is the only word, though. Sometimes.
I like rapscallion. Bob's a rapscallion. He's a rogue. He's a ne'er-do-well.
All right. Enjoy the Kevin and Bean Show while you've got it, folks. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Look, you can get cranky pants about it, or you can just smile and keep on trucking.
It's depressing. Can I have five minutes to let it sink in, though, at least? I mean, we just found out. Depends. The song that we've been playing for years on the show now all of a sudden is offensive.
Depends on how pissy you're going to be for those 5 minutes.
Pretty pissy.
Yeah.
I thought I would just share it with the listeners who, if they wonder why, hey, didn't the Kevin and Bean Show used to be funny? I just want to kind of give some, you know, some reason as to why some stuff is getting pulled off.
You're
here.
Right.
That's all.
Without that song, the show is no longer funny.
Oh,
you're right.
Stop it, Ralph. That's you're going the other saying. Direction as far as Bean is.
No, he said the show isn't funny because we got to change some stuff. I mean, that it sucks. Don't get me wrong. But what are you going to do?
Be a dick about it?
Good times. Here's Ralph with the showbiz beat.
Can't use that word, by the way. D word.
Beat?
No. The D word.
Bean, you got to use the word D. Yeah. You got to use the letter D, man.
Yeah, beat we can't use either.
Beat?
We're showbiz.
Really?
Yeah, it's strange. I don't know what's happening.
There's R with the SB.
Thank you so much.
Who's going to pay for the shutdown in production on 2 1/2 Men while Charlie's in rehab? That's the question Warner Brothers would like to know.
Oh.
Well, turns out it might be Charlie. Here's the thing. Hollywood Reporter says that CBS and Warner Brothers Television have a contract, as you can imagine, with Charlie Sheen. He is, after all, the highest paid actor on television. And in that contract, they have a little thing they like to call the morals clause.
Yeah.
And it's very, very rarely exercised. But in this particular case, since there's so much money at stake, the rumor is that they might actually use it. Which means the insurance company will have to fork over the cash, which has been lost while Charlie's in and out of rehab. And then Warner's and CBS, maybe the insurance company, might actually sue Charlie Sheen for the loss.
Good times.
Really?
So it's a good thing Charlie's got no problems going on. That'd be added to his shoulders.
Do we know how much that might be?
It doesn't say here, okay. But I guess it depends on how long he's in rehab.
It's a lot, right?
When he gets out, they'll tally up the tab. But yeah, every day on a major TV show like that. I mean, they're lucky it's a what they call a three-camera sitcom, which is relatively cheap, not, you know, in real dollars, but in showbiz dollars, than compared to something like a 24
like
or single-camera shoot where they're shooting it like a movie, and they shoot for 14, 15-hour days sometimes. So it'll be interesting to see. But Charlie's got a world of hurt.
Yeah.
Simon Cowell isn't getting along with Ellen DeGeneres. That's the rumor coming from the set of American Idol. I don't know if you saw TMZ.com or not. But apparently Ellen doesn't like the fact that Simon, she believes, is cruel to the contestants.
Really?
You know what? I love bananas. And sometimes a banana is just not quite ripe, and you're like, oh, I wish it was riper because I'd like to eat that banana right now.
She does have that, though. She's got that comment to make instead.
Has she never watched American Idol? Is she surprised by the fact that Simon isn't warm and fuzzy with the contestants?
She had to know that.
She's not there to pat him on the back.
Yeah. Last night, by the way, in case you're curious and didn't get a chance to see, four of the idols got booted off, or the wannabe idols, I guess, out of the top 24. Ashley Rodriguez, Joe Munoz, Tyler Grady, and Janelle Wheeler all got the boot. So go fat Mexican guy with glasses. That's what I'm rooting for. Fat Mexican guy with glasses. He's my favorite. Got a neck tattoo. By the way, you don't see a lot of American guys with a neck tattoo.
That's true.
I think he's a local boy, too. I think he's like Compton or whatnot or something like that.
I think he's up in like Palmdale or someplace
that's
like that.
Palmdale. That's
all
what
right.
I meant to say.
But here's the thing about Simon. You're right. He's not handling the kids with, you know, with sensitivity. But he's also in the music business, and he's trying to give these guys a realistic assessment of their talent and the possibility of them making a career out of this. And 9 times out of 10, he's dead on with his critique of
yes.
music.
Yes.
Yes.
He's also a dick about it. I mean, both are happy.
He's a what?
He's a
what?
He's a D.
A what?
He's a D.
He's a D.
He's a rapscallion.
He's a rogue. The ne'er-do-well.
We need new words, people. Uh-huh. We need to invent an entirely new language.
There's a lot of words out there.
To help us out here.
We can talk to the new Kevin Amin attorney, Dick Bang, and find out what he thinks are appropriate words.
See, now you're just baiting. Now
that's
you're
a
just
guy's
goading.
Name. It's his name. It's a dude's name. I'm not calling anybody that.
If it's his name, Ralph, I mean, that's
it's
allowed.
His name. What am I supposed to do?
I didn't realize it was his name.
Figure skater, commentator, Dick Button. Not allowed to talk about him anymore? Is
that's
that what
correct.
You're saying?
D Button. You can't say Butt either, so.
Richard Button. you guys aren't familiar with Rosalind Papa, I'm sure, but I am via osmosis because my wife is an addict. She's hooked on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Really?
So Bachelor on the Wings of Love has been played enormous amount of time in my house recently. And she, Rosalind, was one of the girls on The Bachelor who was there, supposedly, looking for true love. And ended up banging one of the guys.
Hey, with the B word.
Ended up having an affair with one of the guys on the production crew of The Bachelor.
Yeah!
At the house.
Was it a sexual relationship?
It was indeed.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe that?
A sexual relationship is how I would describe that. And she was booted off the show because of it.
Okay.
For some reason, the producers of The Bachelor frown on the bachelorettes having sex with the crew,
the crew
while they're supposedly there looking for true love with The Bachelor. I don't know why. But she was booted off the show, which is sad for any men who watch the show because she was by far the hottest of the girls in the room.
Okay.
And she still denies the affair with the guy, right?
Yeah, but the guy has come forward and said, oh, yeah.
Like crazy.
Oh, on the stairs, behind the grip truck, on one of the jibs.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
The jib is like a crane they put a camera on.
Oh, all right.
So he has confirmed the fact. And he went back to visit her folks at like her hometown and everything. This is a full-blown affair. She's denying it because I think there's a contractual thing where she can get slapped with a lawsuit or something.
I see.
Anyway, it gets better because a company called LiveJasmine.com has just announced that they've got a sex tape of Rosalind Papa doing what she does with a particularly well-endowed co-star, says the firm. And they are currently shopping the tape around looking to sell it to the highest bidder.
She's kind of cute.
She is adorable.
Mike just pulled up a picture.
Yeah, look at her. That's not even a good picture of her. And her body is spectacular. So I'm just saying, got to hope for the best. And by the best, I mean that tape gets released.
The B.
The B.
Right.
You got an H for the B. All right. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, or CBs, as we call them now. Musician, severely overweight Domino, is 82 years old, and I can't say fat anymore because it offends people.
F. But you don't know which F, then. Right.
That's
you're right.
Right. See?
Okay.
Singer Michael Bolton is 57 years old today. Erykah Badu is 38. And Corinne Bailey Ray is 31 years old today. Do we have
time? Nope, no time.
We don't have time. Oh, what the hell?
We don't have time.
Let's do it anyway. We
Come
don't have time.
On.
I don't care. Here's Kevin talking about Corinne Bailey Ray.
Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. Wow. Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Let's do it again. Can you picture those engineers that work for the Grammys like they're used to working with professionals?
They must have been looking at you like, who is this stroke victim they hired this year?
And then they hired me
back. I still agree with Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, just added to the Kevin and Bean show today, by the way, our friend, writer, actor, director Kevin Smith is going to join us on the program in about 10 minutes or so. How about that? He's got the new Cop-Out film opening up today, so we'll talk to Kevin. That is coming up. All right. We don't have much time here, but we do have time for a quick update from our friend Dr. Mo, who's an actual doctor and an actual surgeon. Let's bring him in on the line, and then I'll recap everybody with what Dr. Mo's homework was, and then we'll hear what he has to say. Hey, Mo, how are you, man?
Absolutely fine. How are you guys?
Hi, good, Dr. Mo. Guys.
Hello.
Great. Nice phone. Which planet are you on?
I'm in my office. I thought this would work out better.
All right. There you go. That's much better. Much better. That's good. All right. Don't move. Stay right where you are.
I'm moving.
Here's the deal. We talked about this on the show a couple of days ago. I saw this news story, and I was fascinated by it, and I wanted a professional medical opinion on whether or not this was true. So let me tell you the briefest details of the story, and then we'll hear what Dr. Mo has been able to uncover in his research, because I thought this was amazing. A 15-year-old girl shows up to the hospital, and she's 9 months pregnant. She's getting ready to give birth. She is that close to popping. And they find out some curious things about this 15-year-old girl. First of all, she doesn't have a vagina, okay, for starters. She had a birth defect where her vagina did not grow. She just had a little, they call it a skin dimple there where her vagina was supposed to be. So it seems curious that a young woman like this would end up being pregnant.
It seems more than curious. It seems not possible.
They did a little investigating, and they found out that this same girl had come to the same hospital almost exactly 9 months previous because she had been stabbed. She had been in a knife fight. What had happened that night that led her to the emergency room was that she was engaging in some oral sex with a boy, and her ex-boyfriend showed up at the house. A knife fight breaks out, and she ends up getting stabbed in the stomach, apparently very seriously. What the doctors think happened is that somehow the essence of the man, what was required from the man to impregnate the girl that was not able to go the way it would normally go because of the part she doesn't have in her body, somehow went from her stomach down to her ovaries as a result of the knife injury.
Via the knife.
Via the knife, right.
Now that seems fantastical.
Via the knife, via the wound, via the hole that was opened up in her inner stomach. Right,
fine.
It's a pretty crazy story. I'm not going to deny that it's not crazy. But what I am going to say is I very, very much want it to be true.
But why? Why are you invested either way in this?
Because it's awesome. And by the way, Lisa May, you had the greatest question at all about this story that really isn't addressed anywhere in this medical news report.
Like, how does she pee? That one?
No. Why are two guys fighting over a girl with no vagina?
That's another great question.
It's a crazy question. So we brought Dr. Mo in, who is a medical expert, and we said, is it possible for somebody to get sex after oral sex, then a knife fight, and then they become impregnated in their ovaries like normal, even though they don't have a vagina? You did the research, Dr. Mo. Tell us what you found out.
All right. This is so cool. I feel like the total medical Harvey Levin. All right, here we go. I found the original article. Okay. I found the ABC News website you sent me to and this Discover Magazine blog thing, which is apparently where all this stuff came from.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of inconsistencies, and so a lot of the stuff that you got fed, half of it came out and half of it didn't. So the case was written in a British journal from 1988, so this is old.
Wow.
So it's just all of a sudden come up again.
All right.
And it's a case report. And that what that means is some doctor is basically saying, hey, look what I did. It's not a scientific article. There's no testing. There's no hypothesis. There's none of that stuff.
So they don't have to prove anything. They just say this happened.
And they just happened. Okay. What do you think?
All
okay.
Right.
So we kind of have to take him for his word. Now, the doctor doesn't really sound that smart if you read the article.
Okay.
Now, it's not maybe not his fault. Do you know where this happened? This happened in a country called Lesotho, which is this little teeny tiny country that's an island inside South Africa that has 2 million people, but only about 100 doctors. And this guy's one of them.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right. Now,
so he may have been jumping to some crazy conclusions because he's not the most up-to-date medical doctor in the world. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Now, let me go back a little bit. You talked about the patient supposedly had no vagina.
Right. Right. Right.
Well, the thing they talked about in ABC News was something different called that, you know, that syndrome with the four German guys' names?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Rokitansky, Muller, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Anyway,
right.
It's also called Mullerian agenesis. And that is somebody may have an abnormality of the vagina, but they don't have a uterus either. It's a weird developmental anomaly where they look like a woman, they just don't have a uterus.
Okay.
Now, if you read the article, they did a C-section, and that implies she has a uterus. So now things are starting to get a little weird because people aren't exactly talking about the same thing. Now, here's why I think it's unbelievably bogus. Problem number one, sperm can't exist in acid.
Right.
So if you go in the stomach where there's gastric acid, it's gonna eat it up. Now they try to they try to explain that in the article, saying that she had an empty stomach, which is BS, or that, you know, the fluid that it's carried in will protect it, which is BS. Okay.
But if you get it, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, doctor. Obviously, you know what you're talking about. But in the event of a knife fight happening within a couple of minutes of that act happening, doesn't it seem like the sperm wouldn't have to stay alive for very long? It would very quickly leave the stomach if there's a big hole in the stomach from a knife fight?
Problem number two. Stab wound to the stomach, okay?
Yes.
Supposedly, the stab wound went to the stomach. Now, the stomach lies under your left rib cage, so mm-hmm. it's going to have to be a pretty big hole.
Okay.
Now, let's say that the stomach happens to be hit. The stomach has to be filled with something. A flat stomach is really hard to pierce, so it's got to be air and fluid and stuff in it.
Okay.
When you put a hole in the stomach, acid and food and blood and whatever can spill out. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Now, The doctor describes during the first surgery, they opened her up, they sewed up the holes in her stomach, and they washed her out, meaning they either used saline or saline mixed with antibiotics to wash out everything in her.
Because that would be toxic.
Well, that's just what you do to clean things out. You wash things out because you avoid postoperative infections.
Okay.
Thing three, if she has a uterus and no vagina, and we talked about this 2 days ago, we're assuming that she's ovulating. The egg is out and ready, popped out of her ovary, and has traveled over into the uterus. Now, if she has no vagina, this happens to be her very first ever ovulation, which they mention in the article. So, literally, she got pregnant with no vagina the first time she ever popped out an egg.
And you're saying...
And I'm saying that this Michael Phelps of sperm, who was in his stomach, who's wearing a titanium Iron Man outfit, not melted by acid, has a GPS system to get out of her stomach, down into her pelvis.
And the best timing ever.
The New Orleans flood tsunami of washing out.
Right.
Works its way into a tube, into a uterus, and that sucker finds the first egg this 15-year-old ever excreted, and 9 months later, there's a child named Jesus.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's a beautiful story, and it sounds to me like Dr. Mo believes it, too.
So you're confirming it.
I'm, in the spirit of the Kevin Bean Show, I'm just saying.
All right, okay. But I just, great analysis, doctor. I appreciate your opinion, if that's what you want to call it. But you understand that you're putting yourself on record now as agreeing with Kevin, whose initial reaction was the story is bogus. Are you sure you want to be on that side of the truth?
I'm telling you, I'm proud to be on his side of the truth.
Damn. Wow. Go.
All right, Dr. Bo, thank you for breaking it down for us.
Hey,
you're
one
bad?
Other thing.
Yes, sir.
The Cop-Out movie?
Yes.
Written
yes.
by a friend of mine named Rob Cullen, if the world isn't tiny enough. So everybody go out and see Cop-Out. He's a good friend of mine.
All right.
It's a great movie, and I can't wait to
Nice job, Rob.
What are the chances of that? All right, Dr. Bo, have a great weekend. Thanks a lot, as always, for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, Bean, I'll take your apology now.
I guess Dr. Mo doesn't know what he's talking about. Not as good a doctor as I thought he was.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:33.
Thank God it's Friday.
Yes.
In the words of Tom Hanks from Dragnet.
Indeed. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. How about our friend Kevin Smith on the phone, ladies and gentlemen?
Smith.
How about the star director of the new film Cop Out in theaters now with Tracy Morgan, who we talked to earlier today, with Bruce Willis, with Sean William Scott, with the beautiful Rashida Jones. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man?
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Welcome to our last show. The news all week long. We're so happy to hear from you.
It's been a few days, so I figure I had to resurface so that people remember I existed.
Got to keep that profile high.
Good exactly. Lord. Worst week of my life last week.
Sorry about all that, man.
It doesn't
seem
positive.
Were on your side, buddy. I just want you to know. We were on your side.
I appreciate it.
But I have to ask, because we were talking to Tracy Morgan earlier today, and I said when we brought Mr. Morgan on, I said, I've always wanted to talk to you, Tracy, because I'm fascinated to know whether you are actually crazy or if you're just a funny guy who's playing crazy, and I got the impression 2 minutes in that the dude is really crazy. What can you tell me?
I think he's got that functional crazy. Like when I was growing up, I had uncles who were functioning alcoholics.
Sure.
He's functionally crazy.
Okay, so the question is then, he can turn it off?
Yes.
He can.
I think it gets, yeah, totally.
But not all
I've
the way
conversations
off.
Conversations with Tracy where I was just like, oh, okay, clearly this is a guy who's, you know, in his 40s and has a job and understands he's an entertainer.
All right, Ralph wants a clarification. Can he turn it all the way off or does it still trickle out?
No, he can't turn it all the way off. Okay. Tracy's one of those people that, at the end of a day around him, your face hurts.
Yeah,
just because you've been smiling all day long. Because I mean, he's always working.
He is the best, and
he's so funny.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel not last night or two nights ago, but the last time he was on, and I said to Jimmy, I wrote him an email. He's is he crazy? And he said you would love hanging out with him more than anybody on the planet.
He's such a good guy. I mean, I hope the movie works for him. I really hope it opens and whatnot, because he came loaded for bear on this movie. You know how like. Sometimes you're going away for like 2 days and you tend to overpack. You bring like 3 bags.
Right.
Tracy was going away for 2 days and packed 26 suitcases. Like he came so overprepared for the movie. It was wonderful.
Well, and was like, he nervous or?
No, he just knew it was a shot. It. I mean, look at that poster, dude. Like that is the dream of anybody who's kind of from a place like a blue collar place like Tracy's from or
right.
like I'm from. You're looking at a movie poster. There he is. Standing next to one
Bruce
of the biggest
Willis.
Movie stars on the planet,
right,
with
right.
his name above the title. I mean, that's a dream. And boy, did he do it.
Well, Smith, I got a chance to see the movie this week.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot.
It's fun, right?
And I think
critics hate it, dude.
Are they really? Are they turned
I mean, well, the L.A. Times dug it. God bless Betsy Sharkey, man. The hometown paper kind of root for the home team.
I got to tell you, Kevin, this is Kevin. You know, I'm not as smart about movies, and I'm
right.
easy to please. The critics mean zero to me.
Yeah, I
mean, I watch a trailer, and I say, that looks funny. I'm going.
Totally.
And
also with this kind of movie, too, to be honest, like, you know, it's like critics don't really matter. I mean, I came from a world, and I say that with all due respect, because critics gave me a career, man. Like
yeah.
with Janet Maslin in New York Times saying that I spun straw into gold with Clerks, like, created a career for me, gave me credibility, particularly when I was working in a field where, like, you needed, you know, a high-profile attention from a newspaper to get people to come to the one theater playing your flick.
Right.
But, I mean, that world just doesn't exist anymore. And back then, that was the only place you could turn to see what people thought of your movie. Like, hey, what did a film critic write?
Right.
Now, with the advent of the internet, I mean, for years now, I could find out what people who bought tickets think. And that
yeah.
matters more to me. Particularly, like, right now, they got a blizzard on the East Coast.
Right.
I am way more interested to hear from the guy who braved that blizzard to go see Cop Out and what his take on it. If that dude came home and said, your movie sucks, I would absolutely be like, you're right, dude. I'm sorry.
You'd be crushed.
But I'll take it from that dude. I can't take it from somebody who saw it for free in a comfy screening room,
yeah.
away from an audience, you know, and just looked at the movie as a pinata. It's an opportunity to just beat the hell out of something to show people how clever you are with words. But
well,
I guarantee you, see the movie, it's entertaining.
As a guy who sat in a comfy screening room and watched it, I got to tell you, I thought, and I said this to a buddy of mine, I think Tracy's performance is the jewel in the movie, and the rest of the movie is a really nice setting for that.
Absolutely.
For that jewel.
Yeah, it's a vehicle just to show off how funny Tracy is.
Yeah.
Sean William Scott as well.
He's
and,
brilliant.
You know, it's,
he's
it's,
great.
We say it in the first scene. It's an homage.
Exactly. Homage. Homage. Homage.
Homage.
This is Kevin Smith on the line on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about his film Cop Out, which comes out today. Kevin directed this, did not write it. Have you done a lot of directing other people's words, and how difficult is that for you, Kevin?
Only one other time, and that was on Reaper. I directed the pilot for Reaper.
That's
and
right.
I didn't write it. And that, when I was done with it, I was like, wow, I feel like I did bring something to it. So, before I was always worried. People would ask me to direct something I didn't write. I'd be like, why? Have you seen what I do? Like, I'm not the guy who comes through for pictures, but after 15 years of doing something, even if you're not trying to get good at it, you're going to get better at it.
But
so,
when you're directing your own work, though, you can change it on the fly because
yeah,
you wrote it.
Totally.
What's it like when you're doing somebody else's screenplay? Do you have less flexibility to improve it as
I
you
mean,
go?
I mean, my feeling is like, in fact, I wound up being far more collaborative on Cop Out than I've ever been, because since I wrote everything else, I come to the set with a kind of idea in my head of what the movie is. I've been seeing it since it was just
right.
words on the page. So all I'm trying to do on the set is shoot the movie that I saw in my head back when I wrote it. Cop Out I didn't write, back when it was called A Couple of Dicks. I didn't write it. I can't sit there and be like, well, I knew exactly what this movie would look like the moment I birthed it, because I came to the process later on.
Yeah,
so for me,
is.
I was able to step onto a set and be more collaborative, be like, what do you see?
All right, let's try that. This guy's got a good idea, everybody. Let's try that.
That's a nice way of saying, Smith, you let everyone just F around and change the line because you didn't write them. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean...
Just improvise your ass off, kids.
We honored the script. We would shoot the script, but then...
You threw the script away, didn't you?
It's like this. If you can't... You don't recruit Gretzky, right? And then put him on the fourth line, play him every other game.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
You know, and we had Sean William Scott and Tracy Morgan, two of the best ad-libbers on the planet next to Seth Rogen. It's like, to just be like, hey, man, just do the script. That's it. It's exactly. Heavily impairing him. Let him play. Let him shoot. Let's see him improvise. And all that's right. What we did. So we would shoot the script. We always honored the script because the Coen brothers wrote a brilliant script, regardless of what critics are saying right now. And we would shoot that, and then we would shoot all the other funny stuff, too.
Kevin Smith, you know we love you. You know you're our all-time favorite guest. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and I know you weren't able to come in this week like you usually do because you've been tremendously busy filming the film. But maybe next week, if things have slowed down for you, maybe you have some time to come in and spend a little more time like we'd like to do.
I absolutely guarantee next week I will not be too fast for the airwaves.
Fantastic. All right.
Airwaves.
We will see you in person next week. Then everybody else, go see Cop Out opening in theaters today, directed by our good friend Kevin Smith. Have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Fuqua.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 9:45.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. One more look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman before the week is up. And more free stuff for Kevin and Bean listeners. Am I right?
Tickets to give away to the Paley Fest 2010.
This is the amazing television festival put on by the Paley Center, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. You can find more information by going to paleycenter.org, by the way.
It's not interesting.
P-A-L-E-Y.
E-Y, okay.
Paleycenter.org. Named after the legendary William Paley, who was the head of CBS. There's some trivia for you.
They're doing great evenings with your favorite TV shows, past and present. This one is one of my favorites by far. Curb Your Enthusiasm is the name of the show. Larry David, the genius behind it, the improv comedy that has been on HBO now for, I guess, 5 seasons? Or is that longer?
A long while.
5, 6, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, if you're a fan, you want to go, I got 5 pairs of tickets to give away to the first 5 callers who know the answer to my trivia question. The number is 1-800-520-1067. Here's the question. Larry David, of course, had a long, illustrious comedy career before he started doing Curb. He was one of the creators of Seinfeld. He was a writer for a season on Saturday Night Live. You may or may not know. That's where he met Julia Louis-Dreyfus, by the way. She was working on that show. He met Michael Richards when they worked together on another late-night comedy show. It was sort of ABC's answer to Saturday Night Live in the early 80s. Give me the name of that show. 1-800-520-1067. The first 5 people with the correct answer. What was the name of the early 80s late-night comedy program where Larry David worked with Michael Richards? If you know the answer to that question, you're pretty like Kramer on Seinfeld. Call me now. I'll give you tickets.
Larry David, I happen to enjoy wearing women's panties.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Amy Winehouse will be back to her old tricks again.
That's not good.
You know, she went back to the Caribbean to work on her new album, Wink Wink.
She did.
The last report was you saying she wanted to.
Her label wanted to be a working vacation,
right.
They said. Well, apparently she got into the studio and worked real hard. Then she came back to England, and apparently she has been on a nonstop bender since. According to London Sun Tabloid, since she arrived, she has been boozing and using other substances pretty much nonstop since she arrived.
She sure had a promising career a few years ago that just has virtually evaporated at this point.
She has become what Lindsay Lohan is to acting.
Yes,
Amy Winehouse has become to music, which is sad. Former, but Radiohead frontman Tom York has got his own new supergroup side project. You heard about this? Atoms for Peace. It's called
ATOM.
That's right.
Atom. Okay. Yes, as in the atomic bomb.
Okay.
Atom. Atoms for Peace. And the band consists of Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea, REM drummer Joey Warnicker, percussionist Mauro Refosco of the New York City band Faro in the Dark, and Nigel Godrich, who is also Radiohead's producer.
All right. This is the band he's bringing to Coachella, right?
Yes, it is. Used to be known as Tom York and the Question Marks. Now they actually have a name. Atoms for Peace is the name of the band. So check them out at Coachella. And they're doing a national tour that kicks off April 5th in New York City, too, by the way. So you can check that out. You can see them at Coachella on the 18th. Check it out. And more music news. Steven Tyler has just passed an audition. Apparently, it's been announced he is the new lead singer of Aerosmith.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a good gig for him.
Congratulations to Steven Tyler.
who basically had to audition for his new job. It's been announced that Steven's back with the band, and they will be touring this summer throughout Europe. So you can see them in Sweden on June 10th if you'd like to see the kickoff of the tour.
Sure seems like that's the only way to go.
Really?
Europe? Yeah. No, but, I mean, you can't go see Aerosmith if it's not
home. No, absolutely.
No. You just can't.
It'd be like Sublime without Brett. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Nice. We have a winner. You want to just go right to that?
Yeah, let's go to the
okay,
winner.
Good.
Why not? What gets us out quicker?
James?
Is that what does?
Yep.
James?
Yes.
What was the name of the late-night comedy show that ABC put on the air as an answer to Saturday Night Live that featured Larry David and Michael Richards?
That was Fridays.
Fridays!
Yay!
NBC had Saturday Night Live. ABC had Fridays.
Who won that battle?
I believe NBC did. But it was a pretty funny show. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend the evening with Larry David and the rest of the gang from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks, man. Thanks also to Ariel and Monica and Efren and Noella. Just think about celebrity birthdays. Oh, by the way, congratulations to Batman, who once again proved he's better than Superman in every way by by selling the largest amount of money ever paid for a classic comic book ever yesterday. $1.1 million was paid for Detective Comics number 27, the first appearance of Batman.
It's like they were just holding that one back till Superman sold for a million.
Oh, really? Oh, Superman, oh, what'd you get, a mil? Really? Okay, who wants to buy this one? Oh, mil point one? Fine, 1. Thank 1. You. Thank you. Next. Illegal alien. Bitch from another planet. He never got his citizenship, by the way.
He didn't?
No.
I didn't know that.
Just came here, started living off our land. Little kid out of a rocket ship. How about proper channels? How about
but I think
that?
I think he gave back. I think he earned the respect of the world by, I don't know, saving it 100 times
hey,
over.
You know what? Manuel's earned my respect by using a leaf blower outside my house all day long. Cleaning up my garden. Looks pretty good. Doesn't make him legal. Okay?
You just hate Superman because you love Batman. That's it.
No, because Superman's a bitch.
You're blinded. You've got blinders on.
Just saying.
All right.
But if you're being honest.
Truth, justice, Superman, the American way, except when it comes to immigration. Then I will just come and just squat in Metropolis. It was taking up the job at a Daily Planet that an American reporter could be taking.
Yeah, it's a fictional thing.
But one-on-one, Superman kicks Batman's ass in a fight, and you know that.
Incorrect.
You have to admit
that. Time and time again. Well, let me just slip on my kryptonite brass knuckles and F you up, bitch from another planet.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, I guess there is.
All right, good.
I can barely do the birthdays now. You got me so angry.
Just rifle them off.
Corinne Bailey-Ray is 31 years old.
Good enough. What else?
Erykah Badu is 38. Michael Bolton's 57. And Fats Domino, one of the first rock and roll stars ever, turns 82 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, an all-new program on Monday morning, and we have details for...
Yes?
Say it. Say it! April Foolishness.
Yeah!
Which is back for a second year, which is a comedy festival for charity
that you will love. It was one of the best things we did last year.
Yeah.
No thanks to us.
Yeah.
So, details on Monday.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Join us next week for a show about beavers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get those tape recorders queued up.
Roll another one.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Just like the other one.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
This one seems to be about to win.
I so agree with Kevin.
I need another hit.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
What? I don't know what this is.
It's Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
Roll another one.
Talk to look. I mean, really, right?
Right. Just like the other.
Anybody mind if I take off my pants?
This one seems to be about to end.
I so agree with Kevin.
I don't have another cent.
Just like my granddad taught me when I was a boy. Don't worry, you German. They have monkey feet.
Don't never ever trust Whitey.
Just pass it around.
Alabama Hot Pocket.
Find that offensive.
Or just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
Tonight, we are.
are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.